जयं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। नित्य लीला प्रविष्ट विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरव भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidhi Namini, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadharine. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय त्वत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वल्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महद् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोल्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामा विकर्ण घोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरण नदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानक केसरं हरिकथा संबोधना बोधितं लोकैः सज्जन षट्पदैरहरह पेबीयमानं मुदा भूयात् भारत पंकज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणीन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविंद नाम संकीर्तनम् गोविंद गोविंद सो अर्जुन आस्क्ड क्वेश्चन एवं सततयुक्ताय भक्तास्तु मेरिवासदे ये जाभी अक्षरम अव्यक्तम तेषां हि योगवितमा एंड कृष्ण आंसर्ड इन ए डिफरेंट वे मय आवेश मनोयम नित्ययुक्त उपासदे श्रद्धया परयो वेदस्ते मे युक्त नमो मद एंड वी सो दे दैट All the time, one whose mind is absorbed in me, Krishna saying that he is the best among the yogis. Instead of answering the question what Arjuna has raised, Krishna answered it, Maya avishya mano yamam, nitya yukta upasade, shraddhaya parayo vedasthemi yukta tamo mada. So, then he explained, Krishna explained then, yetvakshara manirdesham, avyaktam pariupasade, sarvatra gama chindyam cha kodastham achalam dhruvam, sanyamyendriya gramam, sarvatra samabuddhaya, te praapna mandimameva, sarvabhuta hidayarataha. So, this Shraddha, that's the most important word there, Krishna said there. Shraddhaya Pareo Vedam, Steme Yukta Tamo Mata. We were discussing about Shraddha last Wednesday. So, what does Shraddha mean? Shraddha means that Shraddha is a power that comes from Andaryami. Andaryami has to give it to us, that power called Shraddha. Shraddha, Vishwasam, Bhakti, all these are same thing, but in spoken differently, because when Bhakti is understood, Bhakti is supposed to be the result of Shraddha and Vishwasam. Vishwasam means faith. Shraddha also is also faith, but Shraddha is more related to the Andaryami's effect on us, on everybody. Yadevi sarvabhudeshu shraddha rupena samsthita, it says. Shraddha rupena. In the form of shraddha, yadevi sarvabhudeshu, in all living entities, who is present in the form of shraddha. Right. So that shraddha is noticeable to mahatmas. They will see in a person how much shraddha he has. And accordingly, they will react with the person. As I mentioned before, that Paramahamsa found that Shraddha in Vivekananda to such a level that he worshipped him, seeing that Shraddha in him. So, similarly, a guru, when he sees the shish in the disciple, that Shraddha Devi waking up, Shraddha wakes up, right? And saying to Shraddha, wake up, to respond properly, right? Because to remove that avidya inside. And because on his own, he cannot do it. Guru also cannot do it sometimes. And Guru knows one thing, if the Shraddha Shakti wakes up in a person, then how that can be utilized for knowing the self, for knowing the self, right? You will see that in the Shruti Gita. Jaya jaya jita jahya ajangama mridimajam upanitam rasha gunam nahi bhavandam rade bhavandyami nigama gita gunarnava tava. Sri Rajan Swamiji's words there, that one who cannot be won by anyone else, and by whose power, by whose capacity, all the moving, non-moving things, everything in this creation is affected, that power called Maya. Please destroy that Maya. And without nahi bhavandamade bhavandyami prabhavandyami nigama gita gunarnavada tava. Living entities on their own, they don't have the capacity independently to destroy the power of Maya. What is the how do you say like that? Because at the time of creation, Sachidananda Brahman, when it associates with Maya, then that is when the creation has come, and therefore Vedam itself is the authority. Vedam says so, that on its own they cannot fight Maya. The Jiva cannot fight Maya on their own. It requires the help from Sachidananda Krishna, Sachidananda Brahman, right? So that is what it was mentioned like that. So therefore, that power that is required to fight Maya, which is called Shraddha, that is a Shraddha. The Shraddha wakes up in a person in a powerful way, then everything will happen automatically, right? So, and then when Shraddha comes in, the understanding or the effect of spiritual knowledge also is powerful in a person, right? And as I mentioned before, that Sri Shukha Brahmarshi saw this in Parikshit. Pratyascha Krishna Charitam, he says. And for asking that question, Shukha Brahmarshi was pleased with Parikshit and he worshipped Parikshit because he seeing that Shraddha in him. So this is how Mahatmas are. They will notice that Shraddha in a person and they will worship that Shraddha power in the disciple. And so Pratyaccha Krishna Janidam Kalikalmashagnam. And Sri Shukha Brahmarshi was immensely pleased by seeing that Shraddha in Parikshit. And so this power of Shraddha, what Krishna says there, Shraddhaya Parayo Veda Steme Yukta Tamo Mata. Krishna says, whoever has got this Shraddha, they are the best. Krishna puts it like that. We'll discuss the Shraddha in the 17th chapter, when Bhagavad Gita we discuss, because that is all Shraddhatraya Vibhagam. Shraddha falls into three modes of nature, Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. And therefore, all the tapas, what you do for to create the Shraddha, Yajnam, Danam, tapas, they are all for creating the Shraddha in a person, increasing the Shraddha. So because of that, all the other things are also under three modes of nature. Yajnam under three modes of nature, tapas is under three modes of nature, charity is under three modes of nature. They are all very subtle things and its effect you can see in people. One reason is when we do not take into account three modes of nature, the results in a person will not be very visible. For example, three modes of nature, when you don't take into account, a person in Sattvagunam and a person in Tamogunam, when they do sadhana, the results that comes from that will be different. The person in Sattvagunam will understand things better. He will be more in tune with the Shastram. He will be more in tune with the Acharam, and also he is more in a peaceful state related to the in relation with the person in Rajogunam or Tamogunam. So the Shraddha is a big topic in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam. If you want to see anything in Bhagavad Gita, the more deeper understanding, refer to Bhagavatam. It will be there. It's more summarized in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna mentioned like this, Shraddhaya Bharayo Vedas Teme Yukta Tamo Mata. But then Shraddha comes much more in the Bhagavatam when you see different devotees, how their Shraddha was in these things. So, there was the devotee. Different nature in people. She didn't have much of a problems with her. With her nature was such that she was attracted to chanting the holy name continuously, and that was her Shraddha. Shraddha was in chanting. So anyone who disturbed her chanting, she won't be very happy about that, right? So, In the same way, if someone approached her and spoken to her something different, she was not willing to accept that. Because so she was, her whole shraddha was focused on the chanting. And so if you look at certain people, you can observe this. Their shraddha is focused in a particular way. Right? And every jiva, when they come to this world, it has come with a certain shraddha shakti in them. There is a certain shraddha shakti, right? Yadrishi, yadrishi shraddha siddhir bhavadi tadrishi. Where your shraddha is there, that is where you will get there at the end. That's where you will get to at the end. Where your shraddha is, that's where you will get at the end, right? For example, you can see the great personalities, for example, scientists and all that. It is their shraddha in a particular place that has ended up in the different inventions. In different inventions, right? So, same way, some people at an early age in life, their shraddha is in spiritual life. And how did that happen to them? And that sometimes that is kripa, Krishna's mercy, that is, right? And such a person, even if he has to work in this world continuously, right? And due to prarabdham, that he may have to go somewhere and different types of karmam he has to engage in. But in the middle of all that, you will see them still remain in a spiritual state. Like a yogi, he will be able to function himself. Even if his prarabdham has dragged him into all complicated situations, right? Because he is by nature a spiritual being. The shraddha is there, right? And sometimes you will see him isolating himself from the rest of the world and able to maintain his balanced mind in a spiritual state, right? So, to different people, they may be living in isolation, and when one does karmam or when he doesn't karmam, that is based on prarabdham, right? So, Arjuna became a fighter, a kshatriya, fighting nature. That has come because of Arjuna's prarabdham, it is, right? And nothing can be done about that. It is not that he wanted it that way. Whatever maybe the prarabdham he had, Arjuna had, that is why it has happened in that way. Right? You will see this in the famous devotees in Maharashtra. All of them had different prarabdhams. One person was a carpenter, one person was a goldsmith, another person was a gardener, another person was a weaver, another person was a smithy, blacksmith, and another person was a grocer. So different occupations they had. And that's all their prarabdham it is, right? But none of them gave up their karma. And in the middle of all that, they carried on their spiritual life. This was the beauty of those devotees, right? So, sometimes their karma was affected. But still, when these spiritual feelings in them, the shraddha was so strong that is what Krishna is saying, talking about this here. that in spite of the material situations due to prarabdham, still able to be focused on their spiritual side of life. Shraddhaya parayo vedam steme yukta tamo mada. Krishna is saying that the satada yuktam santam upasade shraddhaya parayo prakrishtaya upedam teme mama mataha abhipraitaha yukta tamam iti. He says he is the best, right? And they executed bhakti in their situation, whatever they were. Staying within their prarabdham, they executed the bhakti. And they followed dharmam at the same time. And Krishna says, yuktatama, such persons are the best devotees who are doing that, he said. Why? Because their chittam is in the right place. They are shrestas, right? So that was Krishna's answer. Then Arjuna asked a question, right? That is the second category where he mentioned Ejapi Acharam Avyaktam Teshamke Yogavitama. That second category people, right? Nirgunam Gunadidam of meditation on the Adharyami inside. Krishna spoke about them, then they are not different from me, Krishna says. That is how he answered about them. Sarvatragamana chindyamja kudastam achalam dhruvam, he said. Because they are people who have gone inwards so much and with fully focused on the Andaryami inside, they live their life. And Krishna says there that yetu aksharam anirdesham avyaktam paryupasane sarvatragama chindyamcha kudastam ajaladruvam. And what was their nature? Sanniyamendriya gram sarvatra samabuddhaya te praapnu vandima meva sarvabhuta hiderataha. That everything what they do is such that they, through their senses, everything what is happening through the senses has been offered as ahuti into the soul, into Andaryami inside. And due to that, their mind is sarvabhuta hide ragaha. In other words, they will appear as though that they are in the body, but practically they are free from the body. They have become free from the body. And they are very much close to Atma, Andaryami inside. So you can see people are in different situations in life. Some people are in the prarabdham, but they are executing spiritual life right in the middle of all the prarabdham. And some others who have become free from they don't have karma. They become free from prarabdham. And they were able to go inwards and associate with the Andaryami inside. Such a deep understanding, inward looking nature. And even if you look at their body, because they have gone so close to Andaryami, this body exists in the sphere of time and space. That's all. It's not. Basically, our body is controlled by two things, time and space. It's not. It has got a time span. It will go after that. And it takes a certain space in this world. That's all. That's how far the body is real. It's not. After that, the body has no reality. It's come, it stays for some time and it goes. So, their body is like that. They are fully aware of that as far as body is concerned, right? Our upadhi is this body, gross body, subtle body, everything, is under the control of time and space, kalam desham, right? Desha kala deshavadibhyam, nurmuktam, nityamuktam, nigamashada sahasrenam, bhasyamanam. And that is what this is Krishna is saying here. sarvatragamachindyam cha kudastham achalam dhruvam. By saying that, Krishna is saying this point that their atma, they are more on the spiritual platform, more in connection with the Antaryami inside. And that atma's presence is noticeable in their body, and strictly they are understanding that the body is like a temple. They are more in the deity in the temple, Antaryami. Body is a temple, isn't it? Inside this body, the Antaryami is there. Antaryami is the deity there. Right. So, that's why this body is considered to be like a temple. And Hrit is the deity room. And Jiva is nothing but Ishvara Swarupam, it is, right? So, people who are like that, right, their presence is very beneficial to this world, if you are in that state, right? That is why Krishna said there, Sarva Bhuta Hidaya Radaha. Due to their presence, it helps everybody else in this world. Sarva Bhuta Hidaya Radaha. Te prapnu vandima meva sarva bhuta hidayarataha. Right. What Krishna is saying by that is, realized souls, yanis, their body survives in this world for the benefit of others, more than for themselves. Right. Therefore, Krishna says to Arjuna, leave them behind at the moment. Don't worry about them. They are of a different category. What you are asking, Krishna says to Arjuna, where do you stand? That is what is more important. What is the sadhana, what you have to do? What upasana you have to do, right? And when you are talking about the sadhana or upasana for self-realization, right? Suppose your nature, why you got attracted to this avyaktam, which is Antaryami inside, right? And some, like people will ask this question when you talk to them about Antaryami principle, right? People read all these things, it's not in Upanishads and other places, where is no reference to God as a person. It's mostly spoken on the Brahman, Sachidananda Brahman, and Brahman realization, and things like that. They will ask this question, that what does it all mean? Nirgunam, Niragaram. And so, that's why denominations, they won't allow forms, any forms, worshipping. They won't allow that, right? Even then, they'll bring some form into it. After saying all this, they say they don't know form, no form, no form. But then they will bring some form into it, right? The reason is that the chittavritti inside us, right, is also has got form. Every chittavritti has a form, right? Not like the form what we see through the eye as such, right? And so if you have to worship formless Brahman, right, you cannot have chittavrittis then. When you have chittavrittis, you need form. But if you have to worship something which is formless, that means you should be free from chittavritti first. That's a difficulty, right? And that is why it mentions there, nischala tattva jivan mukti. That nischala tattva. Nischalata means there is no chittavritti, thought waves inside. If you have thought waves inside, you need a form. That is how it is, right? So,
Whereas if you start thinking, thoughts are coming, then form will come. Naturally form will come. Without a form, with the thoughts it's difficult to do it. Right? So, Swarupa Jnanam means the knowledge of the self, right? That doesn't have a form. It is knowledge, it is. Realization. It is subtle things these are. If you're able to get it, you will understand what it means, right? It doesn't have a form. It's knowledge, it is, isn't it? It's a state of being like that. That doesn't have a form, right? Everything else has got form, you see. So, this fighting between personal, impersonal and all has no meaning, basically. It is dependent on a person's state of mind. Nobody can change that easily. And a lot depends on previous lives also, what we have brought with us, right? The thing is this, basically it is like this. One who has come to spiritual life, he wants to do sadhana, right? So in order to do sadhana, he needs something to hold on to. Otherwise it's very difficult, because the thoughts inside will develop that urgency, right? So when your mind is operating, it needs a form, something to hold on to, right? And that is what actually one who is doing sadhana is looking for when he's doing the sadhana. He wants the mind to get fixed in something, right? And where will I get that? Where do I get that thing to hold on to? Where do I get that, right? And if that is keep on changing, then I will find it very difficult to do any sadhana, right? So that's what is called ashrayam. Ashrayam means taking shelter of something, right? So, and the only ashrayam, so it has to be something which does not change. It has to remain as it is always, right? And that ashrayam is Atma, soul, Antaryami, inside. It's only ashrayam like that. Everything else is subject to change. So in spiritual life, this word ashrayam, you will see, it's the last word in spiritual life. Ashrayam is the last thing, right? You can see in the Bhagavatam also, Nirodho Mukti Ashraya. Nirodham, Mukti, and then after that it is the ashrayam, right? Nirodham means Chittavritti Nirodham. That thought waves come to a stop. No more Chittavritti. That is what is Nirodham refers to, right? Chittavritti Nirodham. Then after that, Mukti, liberation, Jnanam, and then finally ashrayam, right? So, ashrayam is the last one. Srinatha Maharshi said, Brahmam is ashrayam. Right? Narada Maharshi says, Anyashrayanam Tyagaha Ananyaha. In the Narada Bhakti Sutra, you will find this statement. If you leave all other shelter in this world, ashrayam, then naturally this ashrayam will come to us. That means you are not taking shelter of anything else in this world. And when you have left the shelter of everything else in this world, when you leave that, Krishna from inside will come as the shelter for everybody. That's the way it is. Because we have not left our ashrayam of other things in this world. That is why we are not finding shelter in Krishna. We want to take Krishna shelter, but it's not happening though. Why? Because we have taken shelter of so many other things, knowingly or unknowingly. It's there, right? So, that happens to Mahatmas, Mahatma's case, that's their success. They become free from this disease what we have got, to find shelter in our life in this world. We have taken shelter of so many things. First of all, taking shelter of the body, shelter of the mind, shelter of other things like family life and bank balance and so many things, right? So Krishna's position is like that, yeah. Te prapnu vandima meva sarvabodha hite rataha sanniyamendire gramam sarvatra samabuddhaya. Of a person who is in that state, he will be like this, the way it's spoken here, right? Indriya samudaya sarvatra sarvasmin kale samabuddhaya samatulya buddhihi yesham ishta nishta prapto te samabuddhaya. Ishtam anishtam happens samabuddhi, even then. Evam vidhate prapnuvandi mam eva sarvabhuta hite rataha. And what is his nature? He is also wants that everyone else, sarvabhuta hite rataha. He is concerned about their welfare as well. He doesn't like other people suffering in ignorance. These are all things Krishna says that sanniyamendriya gramam. Then because this indriya gramam means all our five senses, right? They are all under control. And sarvatra sarvasmin kale samabuddhaya. Always samabuddhi. Never disturbed about anything, right? So, when it comes to that level, Krishna gives the shelter to that person. Shelter will come naturally like that, right? You know, there are so many stories about great personalities on this. As I mentioned before, that Sundaramurti's life is a typical. Somehow or the other, he had to leave Kailasam because he fell in love with a girl there, and he said, Shiva said, you have to leave Kailasam. This is not the place for your attraction. And they both had to come. The girl had to come, he also had to come. Yeah. Right. So, when he came, that from previous life, that sambandham connection was there with her. So he has born with that prarabdham. He had come with that prarabdham. Shiva told him that in the dream, he came to him and told him that Lord Shiva appeared in the dream for the girl as for Sundaramurti as well, and told him that that you come, you will have to get married. Both of them appeared in both their dreams and told them, right? All these stories, if you have to read that in the book called Periyapuranam, it's a famous book. Ramana Maharshi was very fond of that Periyapuranam book. All Lord Shiva's devotees, the Nayanar stories are all in that book. Like Vaishnavas have got their Alvar's books, right? In the same way, Narayana's books are all in Periyapuranam. So you will find there that the Sundaramurti Narayana story, that is a very interesting story, that things can happen like this. Lord Shiva interferes in their life to such an extent and tell them that you both have to get married, right? And then she says to Lord Shiva that if he is willing to marry me, I won't leave this place where I am living. If he is agreeable with that condition, I will marry her. He says to her. She says to him, right? But Sundaramurti won't stay in one place. He keeps going, wandering around everywhere. So Tyagaraja festival when happened, they got married in the temple, and as instructed, he comes to the temple, she comes to the temple. When they looked at each other, they got attracted. And they agreed to get married. Sundaramurti knew that he will not be able to agree with the conditions what she has put on. This girl has put on, right? So, he didn't think about it too much. He got married at the end. He said, I want to get married. He got married, right? So, Sundaramurti then, when the festival season came in Thiruvayar, he wants to go. And he has forgotten all this commitment what he has made to her, right? And when he crossed that land, the circumference of that land, he became blind. So Lord Shiva has given him a stick to hold on to and walk with the stick, he said. And that is how he goes to Trivayar. And when they got married also, they didn't get married in the temple. There was a tamarind tree outside. Underneath the tamarind tree they got married. Shiva told him, I'll be present there for the marriage. I'll come there underneath the tree. Right? So they got married, and then when he left, he became blind. And there he says there, it is in his songs he writes this, right? I have always thought Lord Shiva is a reality. The world is not the reality, right? For the sake of Shiva, I have left the world, right? I didn't leave the world. I didn't leave Shiva for the sake of the world. That is Sundaramurti's state of mind. If you go to the temple where Sundaramurti left, finally, if you go towards Cochin side, there is a place called Kodungallur. That is where there was a temple built there. Thiruvanchikulam it's called. That's where Sundaramurti finally came there. And he left this world from there. Thiruvanchikulam. So, and Lord Shiva spoke to Sundaramurti, you don't have to worry about anything. Panchasharam he gave it to him to chant the holy name. Lord Shiva's holy name, which is in the Vedam. And he was reciting Panchasharam always. Right? And when he chanted, and both the eyes opened afterwards. Right? And so what it is that he was given a stick to hold on to walk. Similarly, Jiva also, what this story is saying to us is, the Jiva wants a, what we call, alambam. Alambam means something to hold on to. Something on which he can take shelter. Right? Without which is very difficult in spiritual life. You need a shelter somewhere. Right? And Jiva is looking for that. A shelter somewhere. Right? And normally when the Jiva becomes very sincere, it will come. It will come, right? Either through a guru or in the dream or in some way from Antaryami will make an arrangement. It is taken like that. That's the way it is, right? Antaryami will make some arrangement for the Jiva when Jiva is suffering to a very high degree and so feeling that struggle inside, right? So, and whatever he gets it in some form, it will come, right? And if he has the Shraddha there, instead of thinking that it is a technique, right? Normally people think everything is a technique these days, is it not? Our mind is like that. Mind comes in turn making everything as a technique or a process, right? Whereas if you make it as a shelter, and it will, whatever that Krishna gives us in that way, as a something to depend on, that to hold on to, right? That will come and give us the shelter in some form. You see, that is how this deity worship has begun. Deity worship started like that, right? Similarly, the holy name. All these are shelter for a person, for a jiva who is suffering. And he wants to take shelter of something, something to hold on to. The deity is like that. Similarly, a holy name is like that. Right? And it is not just the holy name or the material that is giving the shelter. There is a power inside that, in the holy name as well as in the deity. Right? And if you keep on taking shelter of that form of the deity, or particular deity, whoever that may be, or the holy name, whichever it may be, that will gradually build up inside, that bhava mandalam will come. Bhavamandalam will come inside, right? And after that, you once that Bhavamandalam comes inside, then you won't require much of a support from outside if the Bhavamandalam develops inside. There's a lot of things to say about this Bhavamandalam, how that develops in a person. Yeah, mechanically doing something does not create Bhavamandalam. Bhavamandalam comes in a different way. For example, when we have a lot of identification with the body, Sharira Abhimanam, right? You will notice that when we talk about the soul, we won't understand it anything. You won't feel any connection with the soul. That's the very nature of the... and this is not something which you can understand with the mind, which is very much tuned with the modern science. Science create one form of frame of mind inside us. Yeah. Yeah. The person who is identifying with the body so strongly, all he knows is body only, right? And it is difficult for him to develop that connection with the soul. And that is what Krishna is saying there, klesho adhikatarastesham avyaktasatta chetasam avyaktahi gadir dukham deha vadbiravapyade. He says there, isn't it? Why does he say like that? That this bodily identification is a problem in spiritual life. Very strong identification. And when that identification is there, Krishna is saying that it is a bit difficult to understand the soul. Understand the soul. And this is the reason that historically, today it's different now. Everything is different. But historically, who wants to escape from the bodily identity? What do? They go to Himalayas. That was the shelter. Himalaya gave shelter to them. And you will see there are many, 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 it's for thousands of years this has been going on. People went to the Himalayas and they went to very remote places where existence itself is very difficult. But it takes out your bodily identity to a large extent. You are forced to come out of this bodily. You see, when you live in the land at home, you can read Shastram, you can understand things. But because your body is in a comfortable situation at home, it is very difficult to put it into practice, everything, what you are reading from the book. Books when you read, I'm not this body, fine. But I'm very comfortable in my body. So why should I change? This nature will come. So historically, what did people do? Once you have come, finished up your karma in this world, they went to Himalayas for this reason. Himalayam nyastadandam prakarsham, in the says in the Bhagavatam. Everything is centered around there. And what happened later on was that many places in the Himalayas where yogis, great jnanis, people who practiced Hatha Yogam, Raja Yogam, Kriya Yogam, all the great personalities, they lived there in very, very, very remote places. They were not even accessible to ordinary people. They didn't want any connection with the world anymore. They went there, right? So when people went from other places to such remote places in the Himalayas, those who are very serious about, they don't come back again. They spend the rest of their life there. And they know that they're going the right direction, right? And they get all the help and support from there. But what happens in many cases, right, because of the influence of the modern world, the many, many people who have gone in the past like that, and who never return after that, they had high realizations also from that. Very high realizations they had. And serious people who are serious in spiritual life and who had Krishna's mercy, they will get to meet them, those who are in that state, right? So that is what's important. You see, now for example, I can tell you, people go to Kailasam, right? And people go to places like Amarnath and all that. The modern system is, everything is an organized trip, is it not? That doesn't help, really. People go to Kailas. For example, Kailas Yatra is organized now. What do? You go as a group together, you get your visa, all together organized. Food is organized, prasadam is organized, place of stay is organized. And then you go there and you see Kailasam, and then you come back, your bus is waiting there. And you all board into the bus, you saw Kailasam, you come back. That is not pilgrimage. Pilgrimage means that you meeting with such great personalities there. That's what makes your pilgrimage a success. Just seeing a mountain there, Kailasam, this is Kailasam, and coming back, Manasarovar, and all that, and took some, you got your mobile also now, take a lot of photos, come back, and you put it on the YouTube. And you can see that, what has happened. You're like a tourist, you've gone and come back, right? But real purpose of going to all these places is to find such great souls. They are there, but you got to have a bit of a luck also to get to know them. They do exist, there is no doubt about that. Yeah, and able to go and see them and their association. In what sense? When you get to see such people, then you realize spiritual life is real. That's when you realize spiritual life is real. They can help you to bring you out of your bodily identification when you get to their association. That is how it happens. Studying books and doing a little bit of austerity here is not going to get you out of the body. Bodily identity comes off easily when you get to see such people. And if you observe Mahalmas, those who have become very successful in spiritual life, they always will be visiting such places, meeting up with such people. If you look at Vivekananda's life and many others like that, what they did was, they will always go and meet up people like this, living in isolation and also very advanced in the spiritual yoga side of life, right? Practically experience what yoga means. So, because it is like that, and many people makes it a, of course there is frauds also in these days, I'm saying. And the frauds are a lot nowadays, right? And that makes it more difficult now to find out who is fake and who is genuine. It becomes very difficult. Even especially right up to Hrishikesh and Haridwar and all that, there is a lot of frauds there. There's no doubt. But if you go further up, lot more, in much more interior places, very high in the mountains, there are more genuine sadhus living there. The fraud ones, they know, and there is a whole industry centered around this spiritual fraudness, right? You know this matted hair,
yeah, yeah.
What? You can make it and buy it and put it on, like a wig. It's possible. And they'll tell you how to make it and how to make your beard. And once you put that on and the beard like that and some saffron clothes, you get your prasadam there. It will be arranged in the Hrishikesh and Haridwar. There's a lot of frauds like that wandering around. But genuinely, people who are, but there are genuine persons as well who are seriously following a spiritual life, right? So, the thing is this, that body is a problem. That when we have bodily identification, it is very difficult to understand even what Krishna is saying. We will hear that and it will not stay inside. It won't have any effect on us, right? So, this problem is in the land as well. For example, some people will study Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, everything. And they know all the theory behind it. Nirgunam, Nirakaram, Brahmam and everything, right? But they have not experienced anything inside. Yeah. No practically any experience of anything, right? And that is why Krishna says that such people, it will be very difficult for them. Klesho adhikatakastesham. Avyakta sakta chetasam. Avyakta hi gadur dukham. Dehavadbhira vapyade. So dehavadbhi means this bodily identity is an obstacle in entering into the spiritual adhyatman life, spiritual life. It is an obstacle, always, right? And what happened, to whom does this happen? They studied a lot of books, right? And they got attracted to that avyaktam. They got attracted to that avyaktam, andaryami inside. But the basic qualities like sense control, mind control, and the sadhana, what is required, anushtanam, bhakti, shraddha, and all these things didn't happen to them. There are people like that. They read books and they understand everything, but the other things, they don't have it. Right? Reading the books, they got attracted to self-realization. But all the other things required for that, like sense control, control of the mind, sadhana, or the anushtanam in life, right? Bhakti, shraddha, or surrendering to your guru, or sampradayam, all these things, nothing happened. Krishna is saying it's very difficult for them. That verse is referring to them. Klesho adhikatarastesha, avyakt asakta chetasam, avyaktahi gadar dukham. Deha vadbhira vapyade. It is those people whom he is referring to. Right? In other words, they struggle very much. Klesham. Klesham, right? In the Brahma Studi you will find this. Klishandihi kevala bodhalabdhaye. Lord Brahma says, in the Brahmastri, 14th chapter, in the 10th canto. Right? Then, for them to shuddha bhodam, pure bhodam, consciousness, realization will be very difficult. Krishna is saying the same thing. Their struggle is much more, klesha adhikataram. It is a lot more struggle for them. Those who have come like that, right? In other words, they took shelter of buddhi only. With buddhi, they understood many things from the books, right? Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita, everything they read with the buddhi. They used the buddhi and read that, right? And no realization came from that. And people who are in that state, you know what they are called? They say they are in a spiritually constipated state. It's called spiritual constipation. Studied a lot of books, read a lot of books, and a lot of knowledge came in, but no realization. Why? No other things happened in their life except this book's knowledge. And that is the spiritually constipation, it's called, right? Avyaktahi gedur dukkham. Gadi means that knowledge. It is difficult for one who is identifying with the body. That is why all Mahalbas, they go after some time. When they have become this knowledge, they realize that this knowledge is not something you learn unless it comes into in practice. If it has to happen. Otherwise it has no meaning. So, the Krishna is saying that one who is identifying with the body a lot, for him it will be very difficult. Because he will find it difficult to go to some other place and to... He is not willing to accept any austerity in life. So, first of all, that is a problem, right? This bodily identification. And that identification is in the form of ahankaram inside, abhimanam. Body identification, right? So we have to have that medicine first. To remove that, you can see, if you look at our own mind, If you look at your own mind, you will see 75 to 80% of our mind is in the body. Is it not? Do you agree or not? No matter what we speak from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, at the end of the day, this mind, if I look at my own mind, I can see that majority of the thoughts inside the mind is centered around the body's comfort, body's happiness, and means that at least it doesn't give me trouble in that way, right? So, it's not that it is in the body and looking after the body, right? All the mind knows is only that, nothing more than that, right? That means Shraddha in us, Shraddha, that is where the Shraddha Shakti comes, right? Shraddha Shakti has not entered into the mind enough, deep enough, right? And it has not entered either. In other words, that does not mean that you don't have to care for the body, but if the Shraddha has entered into the mind properly, right? What it does is, when you make advancement, it makes this body more systematic. Makes the body more systematic, right? Systematic in the sense that bodily demands goes away. Body becomes very lighter. It is supposed to happen that way. When the Shraddha Shakti increases inside, right? To what extent that Nishta, steadiness comes inside the mind, to that extent the body will be in an order, right? So that's not what he is saying here is one who is only knows his body, right? He knows only that, right? And to such a person, if you talk to him about the soul, it won't make any sense to him. It's a very interesting thing, this, if you look at people, right? When you talk to them about the soul, they are blinking. What are you talking about? That's how they react to you, right? And they look at you and they say, tell you, have you understood, first of all, what this soul is? You are talking to me. Have you understood anything about the soul, right? So everybody is struggling this world in that way. This bodily identity is such a strong thing. That verse 5, if you look at it, right? Krishna is saying there, klesha adhigadaram, yeah? Yadyavi mal karmadi paranam kleshaha adhiga eva kleshaha aksharalpanam paramartha darshinam dehabhimanam parityaga nimittam. Because this bodily identification is difficult to give up. Parityaga means to give up. Right? Avyakta asakta chedasam. And then this unknown thing called Atma inside. And Atma is spoken, about Atma is spoken in Bhagavad Gita, spoken in the Upanishads, spoken in Bhagavadam, everywhere. Right? And there is something there, but very difficult to connect with it inside us. Right? So, but asakti has come there. Attachment has come to that. Avyaktam it is, but asakti is there. Avyaktam means no clarity inside what this Atma is, right? But asakti is there. Got attached to it. This is the situation. Avyakta asakta chetasam. Right? Yesham de avyakta asakta chetasam. So, they may do karmam for me. They surrender their karmam for me. But even for them, this avyaktam is a struggle for them. And but this Brahmam realization, paramartha darshanam, or the absolute truth, is if their asakti is in this avyaktam, I don't know how to translate all it, attachment is in this unmanifested nature of the Antaryami, it will be a great struggle for them. Krishna says so. Klesho adhigatarastesham avyaktasakta chedasam avyaktahi gadur dukkham dehavadbhiravapyate. We put it like that, right? If you look at Prabhupada's commentary on that, Prabhupada made it a lot more easier to, rather than going deeper into that, explaining in a much deeper level, he made it like that. For impersonal form, it will be difficult to make progress in spiritual path. He put it that way, right? So those who consider that Brahman is avyaktam and body is the self. Body is the self and Brahman is avyaktam, they will have a lot of difficulties. They have to surmount a lot of obstacles, right? And that is how, and that's all what Krishna said. Klesham atigatarastesham. Those who consider that Brahman is avyaktam, and those who think that body as the self, which is many of people's case, it is like that. It's not. Till we find some shelter in something, either in the form or in the formless, somewhere, the shelter is not there. We are doing sadhana because great personalities have told us to do sadhana, we are doing that. But we haven't got any shelter yet. So shelter, you have to find in the holy name or in the form, or those who are come from previous lives with sufficient vasana. In this life they may find shelter in the Antaryami straight away. So a lot of things are like that in spiritual life, right? So Krishna said there, I will talk about them later. Talk about them later, right? So coming to this, right? he says, I know this chapter is a bit difficult, right? Because there's a lot of things when bhakti is spoken, discussed, right? Krishna is not talking about the bhakti like the way we have understood bhakti. It's a different world for Krishna's side, right? Krishna is talking about proper bhakti, not about sadhana bhakti. What does actually bhakti means, right? Sadhana bhakti is easy to understand because we are trying to follow it to some extent in our own life, is it not? Sadhana, shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam and all that. That is in the sadhana stage, right? So, they will struggle in this life a lot, but they also have to escape at the end, is it not? So, because they have got to know the goal, but the problem is, what they have is, they have got to know the goal, but at the same time, they are very much in the bodily identity. So they are asking, how can we escape? When we are like this, right? They came to know there's a thing called a liberation, and they realize that there is a goal, which means once you realize that there is a goal, then that is liberation at the end, is it not? And they are stuck in this prarabdham in this world, right? So for them, Krishna has given the first choice. What they can do. And that is the next verse. You see? Yedu sarvani karmani. Sarvani karmani. Mai sanyasya malpara. Ananyeva yogena. Mam dhyayanda mupasate. Sixth verse. 12:6. Yeah. In the 11th chapter, when Krishna said, the la malkarma krita malparamo. Malbhakta Sangavarjida Nurvaira Sarvabhodeshu Esamamedi Pandava. He said that there. Malkarmakrata Malparamo. And Krishna is saying the same thing now. Yedu Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasya Malpara. All karmam he is doing is for me. And so Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasya. Which is nothing but kayena vacha, manasendriyerva, buddhyatmanava, prakrade subhaval, karomi yadyal, sagalam parasmai, narayanayadi, samarpayami. It's the same thing, right? is that exactly what it means? The Sarvani Karmani, same words like Kayena Vacha. Right? So, what does that mean? What means is that everything Krishna is doing, I'm not doing anything. Everything Krishna is doing, right? Whether it is good or bad, whatever is happening, it's happening through this body, Krishna is doing, Antaryami is doing this. And that realization, yeah. Normally, what we do karmam, and then we go and take Krishna shelter. It should be the other way. First we have to take Krishna shelter, and then do the karma. Normally it's not like that, isn't it? We'll go and do what we want. And then if it's not going very well, we'll go and take shelter. Exactly opposite. That's what we do. Everybody is doing the same thing in this world. That's not spiritual. We doing the karma, and then going and taking Krishna shelter when things are going not going the right way. This is what normal people do. But what Krishna is saying, first you surrender and then do the karma. And that surrender means this. Yadu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matpare. Right? So, Krishna is doing all the karma, right? And if you are doing something very deliberate, right, then you cannot do samarpanam there. You can't do anything deliberately, right? So, for example, swadharmam you are doing, and no karmam is pure. That is Bhagavad Gita's conclusions, right? Every karmam in this world has got defects in it, right? Nobody has found out a karmam which you can do in this world without any defect. Every karmam will be associated with something wrong in the end will come. Some problem will happen at the end. Anybody you take it, Mahatma Gandhi's case you take, one who has understood Bhagavad Gita a lot and followed, even his karma ended up at the end, you can see all the partition happened, all the big, big disasters happened, isn't it? So many people were killed in that process and all that. So when you think about all that, you start wondering what was the worth having independence when millions of people had to die. For what? What did we gain? So you can see there that all his struggle for independence, at the end it ended up like that, is it not? So similarly, you can see in this world, Mahatmas come and they do a lot of good things in this world. But even if you look at their karma, there will be something which has, as an end result of that, there will be something that has caused problem in this world. That's caused problems in this world, right? So that is the nature of karma. Any karma you do, the end result will not be always perfect. There will be some kind of fault in that, right? Like a byproduct, it will come and it will cause problems, right? And you can observe your own life in the same way. You will find it, right? any good karma you do, at the end, something will come out which is not right, right? Not very pleasing sometimes. In the Puranam there is this story, Mahavishnu woke up from his yoga nidra and he shook his head, and from the two ears two demons came out, Madhu and Kaitava. Famous story that is, Madhu Kaitava, right? And so in order to teach us that the nature of karma is like that, even for shaking the head, these two demons came about, right? And Vedam also says the same thing. Agni, fire, was born with sinful reactions itself, right? Normally everyone offers a ghee and other ahudi into the Agni to get rid of the sinful reactions. But sinful reaction itself has gone and stayed in the Agni, right? And when they tried to remove that, it entered into the food. It entered into, not the food, into the dakshina, what you give, right? So, you see, these are subtle things related to the yajna, right? when Brahmanas receives Dakshina. And through that Dakshina, these sinful actions goes to him. So Krishna is saying, all these things will jnana agni sarvakarmanam basmasad kuride Arjuna, says in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So everything, the freedom comes only when the proper knowledge comes in a person, right? Till then it will stay. And this is a secret of karma. Krishna talks in the Karma Yoga and the other chapters about that, right? So, this karma is a big barrier to cross in spiritual life, right? And without the knowledge of karma, that gate is not open into spiritual life easily, right? And that is why Krishna said, Gahana Karmano Gadi. How karma works in life, yeah? So, this body, for example, right? It is not, normally we consider it's made of 5 material elements. And from the Shastram point of view, it's a gross body, subtle body, everything. We see it in one way, right? Krishna sees, don't see the body in that way. He says, this is like a field. That's why he call it as Kshetram. This is a Kshetram, isn't it? Kshetra means that it is a field, you know, like rice fields, wheat fields, where field you grow vegetables and grains, everything. Like that, this body is a field, right? And there is, in this field, there is a lot of weeds in that, right? And the weeds will keep coming inside this field, right? So, when a person comes to this world in a particular body, right? Actually, it is not he comes alone. He brings with him a lot of karma as well from previous life. He brings with him, right? And it is unavoidable. He will bring with him a lot of karma, right? And this is a mystery in the spiritual institutions. If you look at spiritual institutions, this problem is a mystery. Why? Because everyone who has joined the movement are all good people, devotees they are. But then why do we have problems? You ask the question, is it not? There is such big problems inside. They have all come, they have all accepted, they say they have accepted Shastram. They have taken initiations. And they have joined and they are willing to serve. All of them are good people. That's why they have come to spiritual life, right? But then why there is problem then? That question you have to ask, is it not? That is because of this, when we come to this world, we didn't come completely independent. We came, brought with us a lot of this baggage as well, karma. Karma with us, right? And every one of us, who have come to this institution, we have got our own prarabdham. Whichever institution it is, it doesn't matter. Once you come into the institution, individually you have a prarabdham there, right? And what happens is, when it becomes an institution, this whole prarabdham becomes very collective prarabdham. The whole joined up together, right? And what we will look at it individually, the karma, what you are doing, and its results, right? And we will only know 50% of that. The other, because to extend what we understand. But the after effect of other things, you won't be able to know it easily, right? for example, you are driving on the left, on the road, right? Perfect driver, car is in a good condition, right? Good roads. To that extent, it is in your control, right? But someone comes opposite to you who is drunk and who is driving carelessly. He comes and hits you. What can you do about it? You are careful, driver, good driver. You are following the rules. Car is in a good condition. And you are driving, following the rules. But someone comes and hits you from the opposite side. Or somebody, some crazy man comes and hits you from side. What can you do about it? It's the same situation in the institution, right? So that 50%, what you have in your control, the remaining 50% is in insurance control. It's beyond our capacity, right? And that is what Krishna calls it as Devam. Yeah. You will see Krishna says, five things controls us. If you look at the 18th chapter, Devam Chaivatra Panjamam, he says, right? 14th verse, if you look, 18:14. Adhishtanam tathakarta karanam cha pradakvidam vividhascha pradakchesta devam chaivatra panchamam. He says, right? So, all other things, like adhishtanam, ichhadvesha sukhajnanadinam abhivyakti, about the body, and that is the foundation, right? And karta, one who is doing the karma. Then karmendriyam, the five senses of action and five senses of knowledge, and 12 manas and the buddhi. If you add all 12. Karananja pradakvidam, right? Then vayu is in the form of pranana, panan and all that. That's a cheshta. Vividasya pradakshesta. And finally, Devam Chaivatra Panchamam. That Devam side. That's important. Right? So Krishna says those five things are responsible. Those five things have importance. He mentioned that there. Right? And so with the body, what you do, whatever karma you do, those things you can manage. That if you give attention to that, say you can bring it in the order with the body, what you do, right? But 50% of that is not in our hand. Devam Chaivatra Panchamam, right? That is in Krishna's hands, right? That is where, in the field of sagunam sagaram, form, worshipable, worshipping form, and karmam, perfection is not possible. In karmam, perfection is not possible. We should know that first. Any karmam what you do in spiritual life also, perfection is not possible. Then what do we do? That whatever karma has come to us in life, in that karma, remove all the pride, identification of the that I am the doer. Right? Karma, we say good karma, bad karma. There is nothing like that. For example, people think worshipping deity is higher, cleaning the toilet is lower, in that way, right? To think like that itself is not perfect, proper. And you will see in the history of some of those great devotees that they did all sorts of things, right? They used to clean up the place and collect all the garbage and throw it away. And say, Sarvam Narayana Yedi Samarpayami, in that way, right? That is their puja, right? In other words, to find in karmam also, something is spiritual and something is material in that way, itself is wrong. Of course, these are a higher understanding, because normally we are used to thinking like that. I'll do deity worship because I am a Brahmin, I won't do other things, and things like that. That's not the proper understanding, right? And similarly, in some cases, people say that the pujaris also feel very depressed, they are not paid enough, you know. They say like that, why am I doing this? If in that mood, if you do pujari service, that's also useless. Sometimes it happens that way, right? In many, many temples it happens. Pujaris don't get enough to live on, and then they become depressed. And their deity worship also gets affected by that. But then pujari has to change his way of thinking. If he is doing pujari service simply for salary, then that's no good, is it? That means he has not understood much about spirituality, right? So there is a saying that in such temples, the deity runs away when he sees the pujari coming in. When he puts his hand inside to the deity room, he goes through the other hall, where through the tirtham runs out. After the abhishek, tirtham comes out, there is a pipe outside. So when the pujari puts his leg inside, the deity goes through the hole outside to run away from him. Frightened of him, actually. When the pujari comes in, the deity is frightened. So he's going to... Because everything what he does is without any bhavam inside. Bhakti is not there. He's thinking that I've been given this job, I'm doing this job, throws the flowers at the deity and make the offering, eat it if you like it. And then he takes it out and he comes off, finishes worship, right? So, and sometimes some pujaris, they've stayed like that for a long time, and later on they left the temple and they became atheists even. You know, due to some relationships like that, right? So, that is a reason that karmam is considered to be jadam. Means that he may have offered flowers to the deity, right? But Krishna is whatever form the deity you are worshipping there, right? The deity takes it in a different way. Pujari's side, he has made the mistake. It means he has not understood that service what he is doing. He has done the service in such a way, but the deity has to, Krishna in the deity form, he is saying that even though he has offered flowers in that way, I will accept it, right? So, if there is no Shraddha or Bhakti, right, what's happening is, that offering is not spiritual anymore, if the Shraddha and Bhakti is not there. You see, for example, women have to cook at home. It used to be like that before. Now it is different. Traditionally, women stayed at home and cooked food. All the time they are in the kitchen. All the time. They'll be in the kitchen. Because families were big. It is a different world now. That is why everything becomes very difficult now to explain these things. Because our whole lifestyle has changed so much. Right? And so what happened when women have to work like that in the kitchen for a long time? Sometimes they feel that, oh, my life is like this all the time. I have to do this cooking, cleaning. A thought may come to them sometimes. But from Shastram point of view, it's the most noble occupation. Why? Because preparing food is supposed to be the most... pure form of... because that food has got such an effect on the person who is eating that, his consciousness, and the person who is cooking, her consciousness. This will all come in that chapter, Shraddha, Shraddhatraya Vibhagam. Krishna will talk about these things. How important the food is, and how important the person who is cooking the food is. If the consciousness is not right, that means you could get sickness even from that. The importance of that, yeah? So, but those things is only possible to understand the importance of kitchen in the house and how this whole occupation of... If that person is thinking that I'm not doing deity worship, I'm cooking, then it is wrong to misunderstand that way, right? The actual thing to understand there is that cooking service is as important in spiritual life as doing the puja in the temple. So, from the Vedam point of view, that fire in the kitchen is called Garhapati Agni. Garhapati Agni it's called. Treta Agni is there, three Agnis at home, right? Garhapati Agni is Agni that is burning in the kitchen, right? So, and if cooking is done with that understanding, that it is cooked for Krishna's pleasure, for Krishna's and the Vaishwanaran happiness inside. If the cooking is done in that way, that whoever, after offering in whoever stomach that food goes into, they will also develop bhakti. They will develop bhakti from that. So, this kitchen service is a good opportunity for pleasing Krishna. It's a good opportunity for pleasing Krishna, right? So, so what happens to them? For them, that service itself becomes bhakti. It becomes bhakti if it is taken properly, right? And not only that, food what they have cooked, if you eat them, it will be healthy for the person who takes it, right? Whereas the person who is cooking, he or she, whoever it is, cursing, thinking that I have been put into this situation, kitchen work, I should be doing some managerial job, some chief executive in some big company, I'm capable of doing that, and instead I'm doing this kind of things, right? And if he or she cooks that food, and if that goes inside our stomach, and that will end up in problems. It will end up in problems. Because ahara shuddhi has not happened, right? It will upset your stomach, right? So that is also considered to be aradhana. Cooking is considered to be big aradhana. So that is what Krishna is saying here. Yedu sarvani karmani, no matter what karma it is. Generally complaint is about kitchen, isn't it? People think that working in the kitchen is not... How does Krishna happy with me working in the kitchen? If you think like that, it is... Whereas Krishna wants me to do only arati, or to give class and speak shastram and become a guru. And that is what makes me... Krishna pleases Krishna in that way, right? So, yedu sarvani karmani, mai sanyasam alpara, right? This is a very revolutionary principle, this what Krishna has spoken here, right? What you need is, what we all need is, inside realization, is it not? And not convincing somebody else. That's not what we want. What we want is some realization inside, right? So, whatever karma has come to us in life, right? Madhyabhashraya. In other words, this karma, what we are doing, or the results of the karma, all these things are not important. What do you get at the end, right? that to know that it is aradhana, Krishna's worship, right? Like you can see here, Sarva Bhuta Hite Ratha, he mentioned before. Is it not? Sarva Bhuta Hite Ratha, in the fourth verse. Sarvatra Samabuddhaya Te Prapnu Vandimameva Sarva Bhuta Hite Ratha. If one does, the result of my karma, whomever it goes and finally comes to someone, gets a result from that, right? Or in other words, if the karma what you are doing is becoming your worship of the Devata inside, Andaryami, if you do karmam like that, mal prasadal, Krishna says, they will invoke my mercy, my kripa. Yeah. Mal prasadal. Mal prasadal param shandim sthanam prapsesi shashvatam. He said at the end of Bhagavad Gita. Right? So, what it means, he says, if he does karmam like that, it will invoke my kripa. My kripa, right? That means that kripa shakti, power of kripa, Krishna's mercy, will wake up inside from Andaryami, right? And if you have managed to wake up that inside, the rest of it, Krishna says, I will take care of it, right? In other words, karmam, when should it leave us? When should karmam leave us, right? When you have reached that state, you have become qualified for that, then at that time, you will become free from that karmam. When the time has come, that the karmam, time has come for you to leave that karmam. The karmam will leave us, right? In other words, you have to come to that state of qualification to become free from karmam. Only then karmam will leave us, right? And and after that, even if you want to do karmam, you won't find karmam in this world, right? And Krishna is saying here, at that moment, you can offer obeisances to karma and send them away. It won't come back again, right? So, they give the example that when you scrape the coconut, in the green coconut, the coconut will stick inside, even if you scrape a lot, right? Whereas, if it is very dry, then it will come off from the shell. Is it not? It will come off from the shell. The same way. So that's what Krishna is trying to explain that. Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara mai ishure sanyasya malpara aham paro yesham te matpara sandam ananyene eva avidyamanam anyadalambanam vishwarupam devam Atmanam muktva yasya sa ananyatena eva kevalena yogena samadhina mam dhyayanda chindayantam upasate. All karmam he has offered to me. And he is completely holding on to me, Krishna says. Right? And he wants me as his destination at the end. And such a person, he says, mam dhyayantam upasade. He is doing karmam, but his goal is me. He is doing karmam, but his goal is me. When he comes to that state, he says, he gets his results from the karmam, but such things are not important for him anymore, right? He is doing karmam because he has to fill his belly for that purpose, whatever it is, right? If you think like that about karma, then the pride won't come in karma. Ahankaram won't come, right? So, surrendering that pride in karma is done in this way. That the results doesn't matter, and all other important things related to what normally people think as important in karma has been given up, right? And the pride that you felt before from karma, you take that pride away from that and put it in self-realization and the goal, right? So, everybody has pride, some pride in doing things, right? But where should the pride be? That's the question. So, if the pride is in self-realization as the goal, and then that karma won't cause any problem for him, right? And that is what Krishna is referring to. Madpara. Earlier he said that, isn't it? Madpara. So, maipara. Mai sanyasya madpara. So, karma, mai sarvani karmani, mai sanyasya madpara. All karma, do it in such a way, mai sanyasya, for Krishna, that, but the goal is madpara. Surrender to Krishna. Self-realization is the goal, but karma is done for Krishna in that way. If it is done like that, ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayanda upasade. So, important thing is, sarvani karmani, any karma that comes in, it's done, but not looking about the results of the karma or what comes out of it in any form, that's not important anymore for that person. Yadu sarvani karmani. Why? Because he has handed over all the karma. Whatever Krishna wants me to do it, I'll do it. My goal is Krishna should be happy. And if that, keeping that in mind, my sanyasya, but malpara is important. Malpara means surrender to Krishna. Right? If it is done like that, because goal is Krishna. Right? And for living in this world, you have to do something. That's right. That's a known thing, right? And as long as you have this body, you have to engage in some kind of activity, right? So, this is how spiritually advanced people see karma. They don't see the karma like the way ordinary people see karma. Karma, they are doing it because to maintain this body, you have to do some karma in this world. Result is not important. My goal is here. I'm here doing this karma, Krishna should be pleased with it. Whatever Krishna karma is happening through this body, it is Antaryami is doing it. That's what I have been put into. That way able to accept the karma. Right. Once it so happened that when Ramana Maharshi's ashram, this incident happened, it is in the book Talks with Ramana Maharshi. There he is saying that one person came there and so, like in everywhere else, you go for the first 3 or 4 days, they let you stay free. After that, they'll say you'll have to do some service. Temple also, it's like that. It's same everywhere, is it not? First 3-4 days, it gives you a free loading. After that, you're asked to do service. Otherwise, they will ask you to leave, is it not? So, somebody said to Maharshi the same thing. He said, I've come here to hear from you, but they are telling me that I have to do service now in the temple. So Maharshi said, I also have to do the service, he said. He said, that's my situation. Everybody has to do something, isn't it? Because when people come and sit in front of me, I have to sit there in front of them, looking at them, and to talk to them. So that's my service, I have to do that, he said. Right? So, and all Mahatmas have spoken like this about karma. That's how they see karma, right? Karma is not important anymore. They are not looking at karma like the way karmis are looking at it. Right? And for them it is also another something you have to do in this world with this body. So they are doing it in that way, right? So the question is, within that framework, how one can live peacefully in this world while doing this karma also, right? And how that can turn into bhakti, right? And if you analyze this, the way Krishna has spoken, this yadu sarvani karmani, mai sanyasya matpara, ananyeva yogena, if you understand that verse properly, right, then our approach to karmam will change. We will look at karmam differently then. Ananyeva yogena mam dhyayantam upasade. That mam dhyayantam upasade is important. The goal has changed. Normally when you do karmam in this world, you want the results and you want recognition and things like that. Yeah, that's not anymore important once you come to spiritual life. Karmam, you are doing that. That's only done for the sake, because the body is there. So something you have to do to maintain this body in that way. But the goal is always self-realization. So, if it is like, if that approach comes in life, right, then you will fit in anywhere, whatever job you are doing, right? In the middle of all the work what you do, in the middle of all the prarabdham, you will still find a change happening, right? And so, like they say that, you know, with the, you can change copper into gold, there is a process for that, is it not? Yeah. Yeah. And similarly, this knowledge, this vidya, with that you can change all karma. Whatever karma you have to do, it can be turned into spiritual in that way. So, and another thing is that, seeing somebody else and you want to become like him, if you start thinking like that, it won't happen. It is not possible, right? Not one person can become like another person. We are all original, our own way. And you can see individually, all of us are not similar, right? Eyes, nose, ears, we all have different nature. But what is one thing, what is inside every one of us, which is the Chaitanya, the living force, right? But all our limbs are different in the bodily level, right? Similarly, everyone is unique in this world. If you look at every jiva, everybody is unique, right? And that is why Krishna is saying there that sarvani karmani, right? No matter what kind of job you do, what kind of work you do, right? Offer that to me. Means, accept that I am doing, Krishna is doing that through your body, in that way, right? And the problem is, our weakness is that our mind is not agreeing with that. Mind comes on way, right? And sometimes it is not possible to do that. Mind will come involved and mind will say to you that you are doing it, you have to be careful, and all these things comes in between, right? So because of that, sadhana is required to absorb these words. Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayantam upasade, right? Now and then, morning, evening, every time, right, you have to keep reminding yourself that this job what I am doing is for pleasing Krishna, to please Krishna. Krishna should be pleased in that way, right? And if it is done like that, over a period of time, Krishna is saying there, he will be pleased. It requires practice. So, and it is difficult in the beginning, but by practice Krishna says it is possible. That verse, ഏത് സർവാണി കർമാണി മൈ സന്യസ്യ മൽപര അനന്യനേവ യോഗേന മാം ധ്യായന്തം ഉപാസതേ. സോ ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഡൺ ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്, ഐ മീൻ ഇഫ് യു ആർ വർക്കിംഗ് ഇൻ എൻ ഓഫീസ്, യുവർ ബോസ് ഹൂസ് കൺട്രോളിംഗ് യുവർ ലൈഫ് ആൻഡ് സിമിലർലി ഓൾ ദി അതർ others who are working with us, colleagues or who they are, right? And in order to get that understanding, you also have to look at them and say that Krishna is inside them as Antaryami, in the boss, superiors. In them also Krishna is there as Antaryami. And all the other persons whom you are working with, Krishna is present them as also Antaryami inside. And sometimes even if there is some conflict, some disagreement, right, there also, if this awareness is inside, that Krishna is present in them. And that is the most difficult part, because we have not been trained in that way, right? So Krishna's point is this, that with this understanding, you have to purify your field of karma by acting in this way. You have to purify your field of karma, Krishna says, right? So, if you ask a question, is it not too much to ask from somebody, right? Problem is that there is no other way. Suppose you are not able to become free from karma. You are finding it difficult to become free from karma. Then this is the only way left. Suppose you become free from karma totally, then it is okay. As he said before, that karma has left you. Then it's fine. But karma has not left you. And it is still there in you. If that is the situation, then this is the only way. That's the point Krishna is stressing there, right? If you have the capacity to give up karma completely and live in this world by taking bhiksha or totally into spiritual life, if you are able to do that, it's fine. But that's also not possible, right? If you give up problem in one place and go to somewhere else, you will have same problem. And that is why this world is actually a reflection of our own mind inside. Right? And even if I have some problems in one place, I'll go to some other place, I'll have similar problems there also. And we will think that I've got this problem because of this person or that person. But what it is, some vasana inside us, some unknown vasana inside us, and is coming out through this prarabdham, karma prarabdham. And that's what is coming out to us in the workplace. Right? Workplace. So, normally, sometimes you look at the mirror. If your face is very dusty or dirty with the dust, then you look at the mirror, you will find that in the mirror, right? And there is no point in washing the mirror. You have to wash your face first. And similarly, we have certain swabhavam in us, and which is called habit in us, whatever it may be, right? And it is difficult to come out of that swabhavam. Svabhava vijayam shaviryam. Krishna said that, is it not? Svabhava vijayam. Winning over our svabhavam, right? So this svabhava vijayam is what is called sadhana, right? Gradually, over a long period of time, shane shane uparamed, Krishna said, right? Dirghakala nairandaryam satkala asevido dhridabhumihi. Patanjali Maharshi says that. For a long period of time practicing it, what is that? Madpara, ananya yogena. What Krishna said that. Mai sanyasya malpara ananya yogena says they have come to this understanding that Krishna is the only shelter. And they don't have anything else in this world, right? And also they have developed this understanding that Krishna is present in everybody as Antaryami. And they cultivate this awareness inside. They cultivate this awareness inside. This verse is quite deep verse that is. Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasyam utpara ananyeva yogena mam dhyayantam upasade. On the one side, all karmam he has accepted that Krishna is doing it through you, through the body, mind. And so whatever that's happening, you are accepting it. Whatever results comes from that, whatever the end result is, it doesn't matter. Krishna is doing the karma. We have to cultivate that understanding inside. Secondly, Malpara. His goal is only me. Krishna is the only shelter. Malpara means Krishna is the only shelter. And all his focus is on Krishna. Self-realization, in other words. If he is in that state of mind, he's saying, Mam dhyayantam upasade, and in everything he cultivates this awareness, anusandhanam, and in whichever situation they are in life, they will be like this, in this way, right? And so, you may ask a question that if it is like that, is it practical, all these things to do, right? The thing is that if you have to do that, whatever situation you are put in, you have to accept it in life. Yeah? You have to accept that situation, right? And that is what makes it possible. Otherwise, it's not possible. In whatever situation Krishna has put us in, you will have to accept that situation. Only then it is possible. Right? And this is a medicine for everybody, in the sense that if the medicine goes into the right place, the situations will shift inside, right? And that is what Krishna is going to say in the next verse, how it happens, right? If you find this sixth verse difficult to follow, and if it is causing problems, it is going to take a lot of time. But Krishna is saying that such people who has done that, I take the responsibility. That's the next verse. Tesham aham samudhartha mrityu samsara sagarat bhavamina chiralpartha mayaveshita chetasam. That's the answer to that. Yeah. So, if it has come to that state, that it is difficult, right, that they, in whatever position they are, they decided to take my shelter, in whatever condition they are at. We are all in different situations in life, is it not? Some people have to do a lot of karma. Some people have no karma. So, depending on the individual situation, Krishna's point is that yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya. If all karma, if you hand over it to me, means Krishna has put me in this karma, I am doing it. In that way. That's surrender, right? Malpara. On the other hand, you are not looking for the results what comes from that, because Krishna is doing through me this karma. What karma comes from, results come from that, that is Krishna's concern. My duty is malpara, surrendering to Krishna. I've taken to that process, right? And then mam dhyayantam upasade. And this is his upasana. If it is like that, then Krishna is saying here that he has started his spiritual life from the state where he is at, whatever situation he is at, he has begun from there. And if it is like that, I will very quickly bring them out from that situation, because he has taken my shelter. See the next word. Tesham aham samudhartha mrityu samsara sagara భవామిన చిరాత్ పార్థ మై ఆవేశిత చేతసాం, మై ఆవేశిత చేతసాం. రైట్? ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్, తేషాం మధు ఉపాసనేగ పరాణం అహం ఈశ్వర సముద్ధార్త కృత ఇది ఆహ మృత్యు సంసార సాగరాత్. మృత్యు సంసార సాగరాత్ అహం తేషాం సముద్ధార్త భవామిన చిరాత్ కిం తర్హి ఏవ హే పార్థ మై ఆవేశిత చేతసాం, మై విషరూపే ఆవేశితం సమాహితం ప్రవేశితం చేతో యేషాం తే మై ఆవేశిత చేతస తేషాం. So what he is saying is that samsara sagaram, the ocean of this material existence itself, right? And material existence ends up in death. At the end we die and go. And because it is difficult to cross over, that is why it is called sagaram, ocean. This, why? Because we are like in an ocean, is it not? In ocean, suddenly you come out for a minute and then you go down again. Similarly, these different bodies, you come in this body, for some time you stay in this body, and then death comes and you go back again. And then you will come up with another body. That's why it is compared to Mrityu Samsara Sagara. We call this as Mrityu Samsara Sagara, means that constantly birth and death, birth and death. Like in an ocean when you drown, up and down, the same thing. Right? So, because it is difficult to, I take care of them. I will bring them out of the cycle of birth and death if they do this. Which one? That sixth verse. Yeah. Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya madpara ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayantam upasade. If that is their situation, then తేషాం అహం సముద్ధార్త మృత్యు సంసార సాగరాత్ భవామిన అజరాత్ భవామిన జరాత్ పార్థ మై ఆవేశిత చేతసాం. హి సెడ్, రైట్? సో దట్ మీన్స్ ఇఫ్ హిస్ చిత్తం, దట్ మీన్స్ హిస్ థాట్స్ ఆర్ ఇన్ మీ, రైట్? ఆర్ ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్, వన్ హీ హాస్ టేకన్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ మీ ఇన్ సైడ్, కంప్లీట్లీ టేకన్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ మీ, రైట్? Vamina Ajiral, without delay, not slowly, very easily, I will get him out of the cycle of birth and death. In other words, Samudhartha, Krishna is saying, right? I will have to pull them out from their situation. I will pull them out, Krishna is saying, right? So, you can see here what Krishna says, that when you say Sharanagati, right? Sharanagati is like that. Krishna comes and gets you out. That's how Sharanagati is, right? That's why it is said Samudhartha. Samudhartha, right? If a Ishvara has to interfere in the life of a Jiva, right? What has he done for that? If Ishvara has to, normally Ishvara doesn't interfere. He allows the jiva to go through its prarabdham, right? And the only thing when Ishvara interferes is, the only qualification he got is, he took shelter. Shelter, taking shelter, right? So, inside, he took Krishna shelter. And, in other words, he is always feeling that his existence is in Krishna's hands. That way. Total surrender. Surrender means, not in that sense, that he accepted Krishna's control in his body, mind, everything. And, outwardly no change, right? And his prarabdham is taking him through his life, whichever way it is, right? And prarabdham is having its full force on him. And that's what his life is, samsara, material existence, right? And what can he do in that situation, right? he can't do anything about it, right? Like Ganga River is flowing full steam, right? And if you are stuck in the middle of that I will escape from Ganga River, it's very difficult because the force of the flow is so strong, right? And this is the situation in majority of the people. 90% in people's life, you can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it, is it not? That means unless a force comes from outside and save them, it cannot happen, right? And first of all, you'll say, I'll take care of myself. That's a big problem when you start saying that I can take care of myself, right? Suppose you're stuck in the water, in deep water, right? And you will cry normally, protect me, save me, save me, like that, right? And who will come to save you, right? You will take care of anything what is available to escape, whatever help comes, right? So in that way, Jiva is taking shelter of Ishvara, right? Or Antaryami, till he gets there, to taking the shelter of Krishna inside as Antaryami or Ishvara. And he will have this pain inside always, right? So this message has to come to this deepest point, deepest center, Antaryami, right? Up to that, whatever he is praying, till it touches there, and Antaryami's mercy comes. And when it comes, you will find some solution at that point to come out of it, right? So that is why Krishna is saying that Bhavami na jiral partha. Once it touches, there won't be much delay after that, provided it has touched, the prayer has reached to the core of the heart, to the Antaryami. Once it has touched there won't be much delay. That is what he is saying there. Tesham aham samudhartha mrityu samsara sagara bhavamina chiran partha. It's not that I have started praying now. It doesn't happen. I may pray for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. Till that my prayer touches Antaryami inside. Yeah. So then there won't be any more delay. After that, Krishna is saying, Tesham aham samudhartha. Right? And that help can come in different ways. You begin with some different forms, right? For example, it could be in the form of a book or a person, or you go to some temples, you find shelter there, right? And you will get the guidance from there, from then on, and help and support what you require after that, right? From inside, in some form, the guidance will come, how to go further from there, right? And that is sufficient for the jivas, protection. The jiva will get through with that in life, right? So, so when he begins his sadhana inside, Krishna is saying there that I will give him the further help what is required for him, and I'll bring him out from that samsaram. Tesham aham samudhartha mrityu samsara sagarad bhavamina jirat partha mayaveshita chetasam. The problem is that, he says, he is stuck in this mrityu samsaram sagaram. Mrityu samsara sagaram, right? Mrityu samsara sagaram means he is in the middle of that. Just like being stuck in the middle of a highly powerful river flowing with a strong current right in the middle. So our life existence now is like that. We have to become realized like that, right? We are stuck in a situation in life where mrtyu samsara sagarat. So, and in the middle of that, my ego, ahankaram, is that flow going on, right? And the previous life, my previous life, which has come in the form of prarabdham, that force is pushing me, right? And our problem is that this ahankaram, the four in us, and the prarabdham, the force, together, is pushing us through this material ocean of material existence. It is spoken in a way compared to the situation of a person who is stuck in the deep water in a powerful, in a river that is flowing with a very strong current. Our life in this world is compared to that. Ahankaram is one force that is pushing us. Then the vasana, which has come in the form of prarabdham in us, these currents are forcing us in the middle of, in this cycle of birth and death called ocean material existence, right? So, added to that, kamam, krodham, all the other problems, and just like if you're bitten with a snake, if somebody is bitten by a snake, how the poison goes up inside the body, gradually it rises all over the body, and he dies. In the same way, this avidya that has bitten us, and that poison has gone inside us, right? Added to that, to increase the force, this karma from previous life. And you can see that in our life, right? Karma, when it comes in this way, karma from previous life, right? You won't get any interest in studying or hearing Bhagavad Gita or Upanishads or Vedantam, right? Even if you take some interest to hear, somebody will come and take you away from that in some form, yeah? So, and you will also notice that there'll some, why don't we go for something else to enjoy? In some way, some other force. And that's how it is in spirituality, that to follow spiritual life, even if you want to do it, if these vasanas are strong inside, prarabdha karma is very strong inside, and then your ahankaram is also very strong, and in this material existence, there is no way you can save yourself on your own. Right? And you will also observe, if some thoughts comes in your mind in the wrong direction, everything will work out well. All those things will happen well. But spiritually, if you try to do something, it won't work out. These are all the situations, right? And that wrong ways, if your mind is gone and you are getting all the help, and it will go and put you into, trap you into some difficult situations, right? And that is the force of the prarabdham. Prarabdham works like that. Yeah. You can't ignore all these things, right? It is there. And if we analyze your own life, you can see how prarabdham has brought you through different situations in life, right? So, you have been thrown away in that way. And at that time, right, you are struggling, not knowing what to do about it, right? Somebody has come and pulled you out from that and explained to you that truth is different, that this life is not the reality, and some understanding of spiritual life comes to you in that form. And someone forcefully smacked you and put the chocolate inside. in the sense that saying to you that the way you are going on in life is not the right way to go, and giving you some spiritual understanding of life, right? The taste of bhakti, jnanam. And just like, you know, when you are sometime very sick, they give an injection into the veins, isn't it? Intravenous, they call it, they push it in, right? For quick relief, right? So similarly, directly, Krishna's mercy comes in that way. Kripa Shakti, right? And so this Kripa, Krishna's Kripa, or mercy, what they say, works differently than any other way. When somebody is stuck in that situation, that's the only shelter what he has got, Krishna's Kripa. Because his prarabdham force is very strong, ahankaram is very strong, and he is stuck in the middle of that. And there is nothing that he cannot do anything on his own because of the prarabdham and the ahankaram inside. At that time, mercy comes from Krishna in some form to him. And that purely it is mercy that comes. And when that mercy comes, the jiva will realize that all his techniques, what we have been trying to apply, all other ready-made processes, everything fails for him, right? In other words, what has he read in the books, or he will realize that his sadhana and his knowledge, what he has acquired from the books, all has very limited capacity to help him. The real strength comes from this mercy, to recognize that mercy, right? And when that Kripa Shakti or mercy comes and gives this blessing to the jiva, right, that is when it happens, right? So he is saying that in order that one has to understand that he will realize that what is spoken, he read in the books, right, but has not experienced, what sadhana he has done did not produce any results, right? Kripa, Krishna's Kripa, Antaryami's Kripa, mercy, had its effect on him. And that is how he realizes that Antaryami's power is more than anything else. Compared to Shastram knowledge, knowledge of the Shastram, or compared to his own sadhana, this power of Antaryami is more compared to anything else. Right? So, and and he will realize the truth at that point, right? So, yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyase malpara ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayantam upasade. His mind is not attached by the karma or its results either, right? And Krishna is saying, if he has come to that, the Shraddha Shakti in him has woken up when he comes to that stage. See, up to that point, we are busy with our ahankaram, we are doing it. Everything what you do in this life is, ahankaram is doing it, right? So, Krishna's point is that when his Shraddha Shakti wakes up inside, then after that, I'll take care of him. Everything after that. Bring him out from the cycle of birth and death. In other words, already his chittam is, you see here, Mayaveshita Chetasam. He's saying, His chittam is in me. He has taken my shelter completely. That is his qualification. And therefore he is saying that the Tesham Samudhartha Bhavamina Chiral Kshipram Eva He Partha Mai Aveshira Chetasam. Therefore you have to say to Arjuna, right, all you have to do is whatever prarabdham what you have got, it will come and you cannot be able to stop it, right? Therefore Krishna says the next verse, look at that. Mayeva mana adhatsva mai buddhin niveshaya nivasishyasi mayeva ada urdhvam na samshaya. Ada urdhvam na samshaya. Mayeva mana adhatsva mai buddhim niveshaya ava nivasishyasi mayeva ada urdhvam na samshaya. We'll look at it after a few minutes.
Cheto darpanam arjanam vamaha gavagni nirvapanam shreyakai davachandriya vigaranam vidyavadho jivanam anandam budhivardhanam vivada purnamrda swadhanam sarvapna savanam param nijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam Nari Bhagadanija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpinani Nidasmarlena Kala Eda Drishitava Kripa Bhagavan Mamabi Tuddeva Midrishami Hajani Nanuragaham Tanarabi Shunichena Tarorabi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kamidamba Jagadisha Kamayi Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadal Bhaktriya Hai Dugitvai Ayi Nanda Danuja Kingaram Padidamam Shame Bhavam Budho Kripaya Dhavapada Pangajastita Dhuli Sadasham Vichindaya Nayanam Galada Shodharaya Vatnam Gadgada Ruddhaya Gira Pulagar Nijidam Galava Bhutavan Nama Grahane Bhavishyadi Yuga Idam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishayidam Shunya Idam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Varehename Ashrishava Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karyotuva Yadha Tadava Vidada Dvilambado Matpranadatha Sunayevana Para Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda. Mai eva mana adhatsva mai buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mai eva ada urdhvam na samshaya.
He says to Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, whatever you are doing based on the prarabdham, that will come. That is nothing you can do about it. But fix your mind in me. And that surrender inside, that Antaryami is inside, Krishna is inside as Antaryami. And keeping the mind focused there is samadhi, because adhishthanam or foundation of everything is Krishna as Antaryami inside. So if the mind is attached to Antaryami there, but it will still won't stay. It will keep going outside again. That's the nature of the mind. So that time, through chanting the holy name or anusandhanam, dhyanam in this way, and this mind which has got this, developed this nature of wandering in the world, somehow it has to be trained to go back into Antaryami again. And one way or the other, he says here, compared to like this, that while hearing Bhagavad Gita in Salsangam and all that, and once using one's own Vivekam, discrimination power. Using that, in solitude, one should churn this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken here, within himself. And with bhakti, if one does that, bhakti means shraddha, gradually the butter will come out from that, which is the realization of the self. Like if you churn inside, in the mind, in solitude, through chanting the holy name or through anusandhanam of the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, from the satsangam and everything, if all this is properly churned inside, then what will happen is, Krishna says that while the churning rod is turned around with bhakti, bhakti is the rope with which the churning rod is moved, and then the butter will come out from that, and that is the pastime of Damodara Leela, isn't it? Damodara Leela's spiritual message is that the message, the pastime is Damodara. Krishna, Yashoda Devi was churning the yogurt, and for that first you have to boil the milk, then you have to pour the culture, turn it into yogurt, and then once you start churning, the butter will come from that. What does it all represent? Today is Kartikeya month. Damodara month also begins. What does it mean? Spiritual understanding of that is this, that the jiva has no other shelter. Jiva has to do this. Do what? That namam, chanting the holy name, satsangam, shastram, with all its help, what it gets from all these things together, to that he should add his own power of discrimination, what he has acquired from this world, by studying this world. World is temporary, body is temporary, and this cannot be the truth. There is truth is higher than all these things. World is not the truth. Antaryami, Krishna is the truth. All this knowledge, what comes from the shastram, from chanting the holy name, satsangam, everything, he has to put it together. And then he has to churn that with bhakti. Bhakti is the force with which you churn, and that, or you can say that rope with which you are churning, right? And if you churn well from that, the result will come in the form of butter, which is the realization of Krishna inside as Antaryami, as a self, right? And then what happens? In the pastime, Krishna comes and steals the butter, right? So, Krishna says, keep the mind focused in me, means that keep your intelligence in me, right? And do shastra vicharam. Scrutinize the shastram thoroughly inside, right? And it requires the power of logic to do all that. Yukti is required. And in order to know that the path you are treading is in the right direction, to know that. Yeah? So, to know that, it is for that purpose that you are making progress in spiritual path. In order to know that, you require the help of Shastram and also the words of the Mahatmas. These are the two things, Apta Vajanam, Shastra Vajanam, they say. The instructions in the Shastram and the instructions of the great personalities, it gives us a guidance in spiritual path to tell us that we are in the right direction going, right? And all these things has to be scrutinized through buddhi, one's buddhi, right? And buddhi will give you the guarantee that you are in the right path, and with the mind you pursue the process, right? If you do both these things with the buddhi as well as the mind, Krishna is saying, with your body wherever it may be, and even if it is your prarabdham, is keeping you in some unusual, difficult situations, right? You are still in me. Mayeva nivasishyasi mayeva, he is saying. Nivasa means to stay. You are living in me. That's Krishna's point. Yeah? Ada urdhvam na samshaya. You will only go up. You won't go down. You see? So, the thing is, Krishna's point is that mayeva mana adhatsva. Keep, bring your mind absorbed in me. And if the mind goes away to other things in the world, gets attracted, then through the process of chanting the holy name, anusandhanam continuously, right, dhyanam, in this way, the mind what is wandering around has to be trained in various ways, right? And develop this power of intelligence or power of discrimination and use it to the mind to agree with us. Mind has a nature to go out freely wherever it wants to go. But to drag the mind back into under control, he is saying that salsangam, shastram, chanting the holy name, everything you should use. And when you keep churning inside with the rope of bhakti, what will happen is that if it becomes very steady, nishtha comes in life, then only at that time this anubhuti, bhagavad anubhuti, experience of antaryami inside, that feeling will come in the form of a butter. It is only a comparison to with that pastime what is spoken, Damodara Leela, right? And then when butter comes, Krishna will steal it. What does that say? He says, the even if it is stolen means that, what it means is, that due to prarabdham, even if you are put into all sorts of situations in life, right? Nivasishyasi mayeva. Ada urdhvanna samshaya. Your journey to the lower side is over, right? You are only going to go up. Let the prarabdha be there, whatever it may be, right? And you be in the middle of anything. And forget about even anusandhanam, but your chittam, if you keep it in me. In other words, let the body stay in the world, let it live based on the dharmam, right? Remaining like that, gradually if you infuse the mind in me and train it that way. That's Krishna's advice there. You train the mind in that way to get absorbed in me, he said, right? So, and there are people who are doing this in this world. You know, it's not that it's not happening. Nobody can do that. It is there, right? They are doing their job, whatever it is, whatever kind of job they are doing, right? In the middle of that, they are able to keep the focus in Krishna as the goal, right? And there are sadhakas who have got that meditation inside going all the time, even though they are doing different kinds of work in this world, right? Why? Because inside them, that attachment to Krishna has come strongly. So therefore they are able to do that. So, so if one wants it, it can happen. It is possible, right? So buddhi and shastram and all is only for supporting that, right? Supporting that, right? So Krishna is saying here, wherever you are, in whatever situation you may be, you are actually in Vaikuntham because you are attached to me. That's the main thing, right? Let the body be anything, anywhere. Nivasishyasi mayeva. But actually you are in me, Krishna says. Mayeva mana adhatsva. Mai buddhim niveshaya. Nivasishyasi mayeva. You are in me. If your mind is in Krishna and buddhi is involved in the way Krishna has spoken here, right? Then, Arjuna, you are in me. Where you are is not important. Where your body is, not important. But where your mind is, what matters. Right? So, this is why Bhavamandalam becomes important. Right? And, you may have heard this, Bhavagrahi Janardana. Bhavagrahi Janardana. So sometimes you may be in the office or in your mind you are somewhere else due to either in the workplace or in some other situation, right? Let there be anywhere it may be. But Krishna says, I am everywhere. And normally people will say, oh, that's very difficult to do this, is it not? You can say, oh, like that because you don't have a mind, that is why, he said. And what we have got is this mind only. We are busy with the mind most of the time, right? So, bhavadartham mam manaha. So, Krishna's point is, what you have to give to me is your mind, nothing else, right? So, that is all what we have got to give it to him, right? Even though Shastram is perfect, right? And your lifestyle is perfect, Jivita Paddhati, right? This one thing called mind is there, is sufficient to destroy everything. To destroy your life, this mind is sufficient, right? And that is why the importance of mind we have to recognize first in life. Mind is controlling us all the time. Yeah? And where the mind is, that's where you are actually. Not the physical body. You are present there where your mind is. And you can see this sometimes that mind does not stay in one place. It keeps moving place to place, right? People will say, you are asking me to do something which is highly impossible to control this mind, right? So, Arjuna is making, Krishna is saying these things because assuming that, this is how Arjuna is thinking, assuming that, Krishna is saying, he says to him, first option he gave him, Yedu sarvani karmani, mai sanyasya malpara ananyeva yogena mam dhyayanda upasate. That's the first option. Then he said, if you do that, tesha maham samudhartha, I will take care of everything. And if that's not happening, then he said, fix your mind in me. Mayeva mana adhatsva. First he said, yedu sarvani karmani, my sannyasya. First one. Now he is saying, mayeva mana adhatsva. If the other one was not, he says, Krishna said, if you do that, Teshamaham samudhartha, I will take care of him. That's one situation, right? So, thinking that Arjuna is saying that's not practical for me, it's not working, he said, Mayeva mana adhatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mayeva, ada urdhunna samshaya. If you do this, fix your mind in me all the time. And buddhi, enter into me. And you are living in me. Mayeva nivasishyasi. And there is no doubt you will still go up. Ada urdhunna samshaya. Right? So when he said like that, right, people will still say that's difficult, right? Because once you go to workplace and you meet up with people and you have to do different things, automatically you'll all forget all these things, all the verses and all the things what Krishna has spoken. That will all be forgotten straight away, right? So, at that time, we'll forget everything, right? So, Krishna is saying, look at Krishna's compassion for Jiva, right? He says, in the next verse, what you should do then. If this is not possible, do this, he's saying. What's that? He's saying here that the Atha chittam samadhadum na shanknoshi. If you're finding it difficult to control your mind that way, mai sthiram abhyasa yogena tada mam ichaptam dhananjaya. So, in the last verse, 8th verse, Krishna said, manas is sangalpam vigalpam. Is it not? Sangalpam vigalpatmagam mana. Athatswa sabaya mai eva adhyavasayam kurvadim buddhim athatswa niveshaya. Fix your mind in me and buddhi also, right? What will happen from that? You will enter into me. Nivasishyasi mai eva. Mai nivasam karishyasi eva ata. Sharira padad urdhvam na samshaya atra na kartavyaha. When you die, when your body drops away, you will come back to me. Krishna said in the last verse, that is the 8th verse, right? Mai eva mana adhatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mai eva, ada urdhvam na samshaya. He said like that. Then he says, if it is not possible for you to do that, then, ata chittam samadhadum, na shaknoshi mai stiram, abhyasa yogena tato, mam ichaptam dhananjaya. You practice this abhyasa yogam. Abhyasa yogam, he's saying here. Atayam yatha vocham tada mai chittam samadhanam sthapayitum sthiram achalam na shaknoshi chetada paschat abhyasa yogena chittasya ekasmin alambane sarva samahartya punah sthapanam abhyasaha tatpurvako yogaha samadhana lakshanaha tena abhyasa yogena mam vishwarupam icha prarthayasu aptam praptam he dhananjaya. Arjuna, Krishna said to Arjuna that what I have said in that 8th verse, last verse, right? Mai eva mana adatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mai eva adaurdhunna samshaya. Krishna says, I know it is difficult. He said, but if you practice it, it is possible, right? If you cannot do that, permanently you cannot fix your chittam in me, then what is the method? Do it stage by stage, now and then, keep doing it. Now and then, do it, if it's not. Whenever the mind goes out wandering in the world, find out why it is happening and bring the mind back into, again into me, Andaryami. Krishna is saying like that, yeah? So, one thing you will notice that this abhyasam Krishna has given importance to it, yeah? If you look into the 6th chapter also, there while talking about Dhyana Yogam, he is saying there that the yado yado nischarati, 26th verse, 6th chapter. The same thing is, see how Bhagavad Gita is connected. All yoga systems are connected to each other. Sometimes people think, I am Bhakti Yogam following, I have nothing to do with all this. That's not knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. Knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita is that everything in Bhagavad Gita has something to do with your spiritual life. You can't ignore anything. Yeah. Some devotees say like that, only the middle 6 chapters I am taking care of because I am following, I am a devotee. First 6 is for karmis, the last 6 is for the gyanis. That is not how Bhagavad Gita is. This is all misunderstanding. Bhagavad Gita, so many things, as I said, Krishna has taken from Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. This Abhyasam Vairagyam Krishna has taken from Patanjali and brought into Bhagavad Gita, right? So Abhyasam has given a lot of importance. Here he is saying in the 26th verse, you can look at that. Yado yado nischarati manas chanjalam astiram tadas tado niyam meda atmanyeva vasham nayet. That if the mind is going away, you try control your mind and bring it back to Atma. Atmanyeva vasham nayet. Pull it back towards the Atma, right? And that is what is required. So initially it may not happen, but you have to practice it, Krishna says. Yato yato nischarati manam chanjalam astiram. That's the nature of the mind. Chanjalam, always wobbly. Astiram, never steady at all. And when it happened, tadastado niyam meida atmanyeva vasham nayet. One should bring it back into Andriyami again. He said like that, isn't it? So the same thing he is repeating here. Ata chittam samadhatum na shaknushi mayi sthiram abhyasa yogena tato mam ichchaptam dhananjaya. Right? Whatever reasons mind is going out outside, whatever reasons it's going outside, you got to pull it back and bring it closer to the Andriyami again. And in bhakti, or in the form of Krishna's lotus feet, or in the form, or in the holy name, or the Andariyami, in whichever place you are, you got to bring it back there, right? And it will run again, go out again, right? And again bring it back. In this way, if you practice it for a long period of time, if you practice it, at some point in time, it may stay for a little while inside. Right? And that is the profit from that. That's all you can expect. Right? And again, this has to be practiced, this process. Yeah? How did all the great personalities, spiritual personalities come to this world? Their success was like this, in this way. Right? Gradually, everything done over a long period of time. Great yogis, great devotees, they were all not born with everything. Whole lifetime they have practiced it and they have reached that state due to practice only. So abhyasam is an important thing. Abhyasam, right? And what they have practiced in previous lifetime, abhyasam, what they have done, right? That samskaram in them, in this life, has manifested in them. That samskaram. That is why they were able to do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, it is not that they practiced it in this life necessarily. In previous several lifetimes, what they may have practiced, suddenly in this lifetime, when they came in this body, in this prarabdham, that power has come out through them. And that is why you find that they are different from others. They are different from others. What we can do now is to do what possible in this life. That will remain as a samskaram. And in some another life, many times maybe in the future, we will also become in the same way. That's the way it works. It's not that I am coming out to spiritual life and everything should happen now in this life itself. If I rush into it, it won't work like that. Yeah. So those things you can understand. Krishna, how much he spoke about abhyasam. Why is he saying like that abhyasam? Because Krishna is saying, if you practice it, it's not a loss. It will stay with you. And after several lifetimes, it will come in its full force. That time what will happen is, when you come to this world, you will straight away take to spiritual life. And people like, personalities like Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and Ramana Maharshi and all, their abhyasam has been done before, in several lives before. In this life when they came, it was just like this for them. The door was open for them. And straight away they went to the target, to the goal. Whereas we, sitting here, we are still thinking, should I stay in spiritual life or is it necessary? We are looking, waiting for an opportunity to get back to material life again. Just see the difference. That samskaram has not developed inside. This is a long drawn process, this is spiritual life. It's all not that you can complete this and straight away the flight is going to take us there. It's not going to happen that way. That's a misunderstanding. But instead, in order to inspire people, people will say all those things, you know, to get people, at least let them start something to begin with. So in order to enthuse them, we will say like that, you know, you chant your rounds and at the end, spiritual master will come or Krishna will personally take care of you and all sorts of things. But the process cannot be changed. Process is like this. Otherwise, there was no need to say all these things in this way, the way Krishna has spoken. The very fact that Krishna has spoken in this form shows that it's a long-drawn process. It is going to take time. So, he mentioned here that once you develop this samskaram inside, right, in one life, it will manifest straight away, that samskaram, right? So just like musicians, you look at that. Sometimes small children, in a very early age itself, they show great talent in music. Yeah? And it is not from this life. It is from previous life. Right? And you can see that in this life what happened, their genetic environment, they'll bring it together, everything, that vasana inside. And as soon as a favorable situation came, the whole thing comes out from inside. Music, it is particularly like that, right? So, and it is like this way, the samskaram from previous life brings us gradually into this state, and that is the stage when Krishna said, Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Vijayate. Yoga Brashtas are these people. They come like this, and in this life suddenly they will come and take birth in a situation like that, favorable for their samskaram, and everything manifests straight away in them. Yeah. So they are the yoga brashtas, right? They didn't make it, they didn't perfect it in their previous life, several lifetimes. They didn't perfect it. Therefore, they are yoga brashtas. But then they came into this life, and in this life, they were given an opportunity to take birth in a proper environment, family, background, everything, and opportunity for them to take it further from there, where they lost that last chance. They are the yoga brashtas, right? And by their birth, Upanishad says, Kulam Pavitram Janani Kritartam Vasundara Punyavadivatena. That by such people, when they take birth, their whole family gets a benefit. They get purified. The land which has given them birth gets purified. Vasundara Punyavati Chatena. That she is very fortunate. I mean, when the great personalities appear anywhere, that land becomes purified. The land becomes the place of their birth because of that. And the family they were born gets benefited. Kulam pavitram janani kritartham. The mother who has given birth to that person, she gets a benefit. Vasundhara punyavadi yadena. The bhumi devi there, Vasundhara, she gets the benefit from that. That is how their appearance is, these great souls, when they come, right? So, therefore, Krishna is saying, abhyasam is necessary, practice is necessary, right? Everything is abhyasam in life, isn't it? Like school, when you went to A, B, C, D, practiced it, writing again and again and again. You look, go back and look at your books if you have, in first standard what you did, keep writing A, practicing B, like that. So many paragraphs you have to. And that time to write A, B, C, D, you have to practice it, right? And with that same ABCD, after you have grown up, you are writing poetry. You see now, you are writing poetry by then, because you have mastered it by then. And you are writing words, you are framing sentences in this way. So small children ask, how did you write all these things? Because they don't understand it. Right? And why? Abhyasam. Abhyasam, abhyasam, again and again. Therefore, Krishna's point is that, so when you are trying to practice this abhyasam, vijadiya vritti will come. Vijadiya vritti means that different chitta vritti that will try to stop it when you are trying to do abhyasam. Other chitta vrittis comes and takes us out from that. Such vijadiya vritti, you have to oppose that with sajadiya vritti. In other words, Patanjali says all these things. It's all from the Yoga Sutram. All this is from Patanjali's Yoga Sutram. Right? Viparita chittavritti. If chittavritti, because see the thoughts that comes inside us, right? Sometimes it's favorable, sometimes it's negative. Most of the time it's negative. That is why spiritual life becomes a battle. Is it not? That strong force from inside, chittavritti, brings a negative force inside and turns our attention away from self-realization, from the soul. So, viparita chittavritti, and that you have to counteract with satsangam, and similarly anusandhanam, nama japam. In this way, gradually, it will start influencing the chittavritti inside, right? And it is like that, through influences chittavritti first, and through that, it will influence your samskaram. It influences chittavritti first, and then it influence your samskaram, right? And through samskaram, your vasanas will be affected, right? And through vasana, it goes into your nervous system everywhere in the body. Yeah. So it's difficult to say more than that, because as you know that in Vidura said to Maitreya, isn't it? Karnanadim chinati, it says. This nadis in the form, the nervous system in the body, right? They are constantly created and destroyed in different ways, right? And the old nadis inside us is carrying ragadvesham, attachment aversion, lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and things like that. The nadis inside us, at the moment, it is carrying all that, right? They will die gradually, and fresh nadis will come inside when abhyasam is done. That's what abhyasam does to us, right? And how does this nadis come? What does nadi mean? Nadi is the matured form of chittavritti. You see the thought waves inside? When it becomes active in us, that calls nadi. That's what nadi means. Nadi is not a physical thing. Nadi means the chittavritti inside, it manifests in a physical form. Physical form in the sense that it starts affecting you. Kama, krodham, raga, dvesham, lobha, moham, madam, ansaryam, all these things inside us, ahangaram, they are all in the moment inside us in the form of nadi. That means those emotions inside our mind is developing in all these different forms. Now that has to change. That's what this abhyasam is all about. Right? So when new chittavritti comes, new chittavritti, which is bhakti, shraddha, shastram, salsangam, all these things, when such thoughts develops, it develops a new samskaram inside us, and accordingly new nadis come inside us. Right? And so when one is chanting the holy name, for example, right? When a person who is on his physical platform, on a bodily identity, in the early stages particularly, right? When he starts feeling some ecstasy from chanting holy name, is affecting him. At that time, he feels, he sheds tears, and similarly his hair stands up, and he feels the effect of his emotions all through his body. Isn't it? All through his body, right? So that means that all his nadis have become spiritualized from his previous state. All these changes has got to happen inside us. So at that moment, the nadis have become more purified, and you can see its impact in the body itself, right? Not only in the chittam, vasanas, physically also, you will feel that difference, right? And if you have come to that level, then it is much better, right? Which means that his spirituality has started giving some response from the body and the mind. We are thinking spirituality in a different way. See, most of the people are thinking, I know it's not, because they are not thinking about all these things, what Krishna is saying here, right? They are just reading the translation, and purport is also written in a way for the beginner to start with, right? That initially we think that if I do all these things, it will come one day. One day it will come. That's how people think about it. It's not one day it's going to happen. Before that, a lot of things will happen to indicate that there is some change happening in us, inside us, right? And when that change is noticeable, you can say that you are going in the right path. Because if you start thinking that, I'm doing everything what I've been told, 16 rounds, 4 regs, and attending Mangalarati and Guru Puja and then class and then doing service, everything I've done. Now what? If you think like that, that is not how it is. That's not how it is. It has to happen in this way. That is why Krishna is saying in an order, abhyasam, abhyasam, he keeps saying. So when you practice that, right, what will happen is the over a period of time, the nadis that were inside, which has come from our contaminated state, with all the attachment nadis, aversion nadis, and similarly anger nadis, and the lustig nadis, and the greed nadis, and envy nadis, and pride nadis, anger, they're all there inside us. This body is a very complex phenomenon, is it not, when you look at that way. And you can also observe another thing, that this strong link between the mind and the body. If mind is kept in a very happy state, a lot of problems for the body you can escape from. You see? Whereas if you allow the mind to suffer a lot, go through all the, the unwanted things, if it develops in the mind, it will have its effect on your body. It will have its effect on the body. There's no doubt about that. Yeah? So, you know, this technique is known to spiritually advanced people. The strong link between the mind and the body. And they will act on that basis. They will not, we are like this. If somebody abuses me, I'll react straight away. It's not. That's because I have not been trained in that way, to think otherwise. If somebody insults you, insult back, right? So, Brahmananda Swami, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's first disciple, right? He was living in Kashi. In Kashi, right? And he had many other Brahmachari disciples there, in Kashi Matham, right? And one Brahmachari went away from there, left Matham, and went away. And after going out, he wrote a letter to the Matham, saying that there are so many problems there, this, that, and the other. Blaming everything in the Matham, that how nothing was taken care of, and all sorts of things, right? So when the letter came, another brahmachari took the letter and he opened it and he read it, and he wanted to respond straight away, and he wrote a very strong letter refuting all his arguments, you know, against that. And before he sent it off, he took it to Brahmananda Swami and showed it to him, that this man has, brahmachari has written in this way, right? So, shall I send this letter? Shall I post it now? He said. Brahmananda Swami told him, don't post your letter now, post it tomorrow, he said. Post it tomorrow. And let's see what happens. We'll post it tomorrow. Put it like that. By the next day, what happened was, he felt like that. I think I've written too strong in my letter, the reply. That person has gone and he has complained about everything, and I made my reply, and the reply was also very strong towards him, right? So, Brahmananda Swami, so next day he called this brahmachari who had made the reply and told him that you are feeling some change in your mind now? Asked him like that, right? So, don't send any reply now. Keep it for another couple of days. You'll write after a couple of days, he said, right? In this way, every day, he was editing his letter and changing it. He didn't respond straight away. Instead, he replied first, he made the reply, and then he showed to Brahmananda Swami. Brahmananda told him that don't send it, keep it for a day. And then the brahmachari had thought about it, and then he said, I should edit it later, a little different. So after a few days, it was edited and edited and edited every time before he sent the reply, right? And and after that, in that letter he said, yes, we do accept that there are faults on our side, right? And we accept all that things, and we are trying very hard to change everything. And then he sent the letter after that. So when the person got the letter, he felt that how much understanding they had for what he has written, right? And he came back to the ashram. Because all he wanted to express his, when he expressed his anger with everything what was happening in the ashram, but matured understanding of Brahmananda Swami that this is the very nature of the mind, right? And so you need a time gap between those two things. Suddenly when something comes out, it is response, reaction to it, right? Whereas if you give a gap of 2 or 3 days, it calms you down and you're able to calmly analyze the situation, right? Unfortunately, we have lost this today. Why? Because in the mobile phone message comes. Whereas in them days, there was no mobile. You will have to write a letter. There was no phone either. So everything will take time, is it not? To write a letter means you need a stamp. Sometimes, those days there was postcard, then inland letter, and then stamped envelope. These were three options. Old days, post office days. When post office was there. Now post office also gone. So some such days, it takes time to reply. Because of that, the benefit was that you cannot react even if you want straight away. Because even if you write a letter, if the person is living 100 miles away, it will take 2-3 days by the time to get to him, right? So people didn't react fast like the way we react now. Now, the moment the mobile rings, you open the message and the message is very upsetting, you will straight away go into action, right? React to it, right? So, and whatever it comes into the mind and the mouth, it goes into the text message without any further. And some people are like that. They will message and write anytime, anything and everything they'll put through text message. And they think they've done their job. They're finished with it. They don't think what other side will think about it. All that, right? So that is the difference between present situation and then, right? So the time gap was good. But with that system, you become more pakvam, more matured. And other person also, right? Whereas today, everything is over in few seconds, right? So, and if that habit has become your swabhavam, if it has become in your nature, right, the reaction will come like this, right? And so yogis, they don't react like that. Suddenly they won't react for anything, right? And how were they able to develop that nature to be like that, not to react to situations, right? And because in their training, they have developed that situation with the world outside, right? Up to the extent of the body, this experience have come to them that they can accept things when it comes from outside and not to react due to practice. Yeah. Now, the world doesn't help us much in these days because of all these tools, emails and mobiles and texting and all that. Yeah. So, gradually when it comes to the body level, it comes to these thought waves. Thoughts comes in the form of nerves and everything, right? And it influences our buddhi, our chittam also. Not only that, it comes into the physical level as well. It will manifest in the physical level as well. And then that has become completely affected him, right? So in the same way, all these good things also, this is normal in the mundane world, how we live with all these things, right? In the same way, spiritual thoughts also takes time to completely change us. Change our body, change our mind, change our thoughts, and the way we react to situations, everything. To become more in a spiritualized way, to do that, right? So, for that purpose, Krishna is saying, Avarti Rasakrit Upadesham. In other words, repetition. Adhyatma Sadhana, you have to keep repeating it and increase the potency of the chanting. So chanting also has to be done a lot and increase that potency of the chanting, right? Like it is there in every system. And like for example in Ayurveda, you can see certain medicines, if you purify and purify and purify. Lot of medicines are made from milk and ghee and everything, right? So what they do, and then they bring all the plants, extracts from different plants, they grind it nicely and they take the juice out of it, they pour into the milk and then they boil it, right? And then they boil it and ultimately what happens, it becomes very small quantity and that's when they bottle it, right? Many Ayurvedic preparations, if you look, different plants extract goes into it, the juice of those plants, it is taken into it. And then they boil it in the milk. Milk is the main ingredient. In that they boil it. And then they keep adding at different stages different things. And then finally end product comes. And that end product, if they want to increase its potency, they will again put that into the milk and again start boiling it. So there are medicines which are 5 times repeated, 25 times repeated, 51 times repeated, 101 times repeated, to increase its potency of the medicine, right? For example, there's a medicine called Kshira Bala, which is coming from the milk, right? Kshira Bala, it is named. The medicine that goes into it, and initially it is repeated 3 times, for example. That is normally used for the nose, through the nose to, if you have problems with your mucus system and all that, if you inhale it through the nose, it works, right? But it may not be effective for certain other illnesses, where you will require much more higher potency. So you can buy that 101 times purified ones. That costs a lot of money, but its power is very strong. It's very strong it is, right? So similarly, sadhana is like that. Yeah, you can do in a basic level sadhana, a few rounds chanting every day and leave it at that. But if you want to increase the potency of the chanting, you got to do a lot of chanting. More and more chanting required to make it happen, right? So, but this is for general people, right? Then there are prodigies who come into this life straight away from the beginning, take to it. You can't take them into consideration because they are special people, right? Because you don't know how many sadhanas they have done in the previous life, how many lifetimes they have done that. Who sees that? Nobody knows that, right? So we have to begin basically from where we are at. We have to start from there, right? And you will slip and fall, but again you have to continue from there. And you will fail many times, and then you will have to continue again, right? If you keep on doing like that, Krishna is saying, adachittam samadhadum na shanknoshi mayistiram abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptam dhananjaya. Abhyasa yogam is like that, right? Abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptam dhananjaya. So abhyasa yogam means that, yeah, never to give up and to take that resolution to practice regularly, right? And that resolute determination inside to practice it, right? And that means I am in a particular state in my life, in spiritual life. I have to start from there, and you be in your sadhana in that way. And he is saying that na shankoshi maistiram abhyasa yogendrado mamichatam dhananjaya. And that determination, that resolute determination you take, it is called samyak vyavasaya. Krishna has used that word previously, right? He's saying here, if that comes in a person, that samyak vyavasido hisa, he mentioned that kshipram bhavati dharatma shashvat chandim nagachari kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashari. That samyak vyavasido hisa, referring to that state. Yeah, and he is saying there, you remember, Abhijayat Sudhirajaro Bhajade Imam Ananya Bhak Sadhureva Samandavya Samyak Vyavasidohisa. That Samyak Vyavasidohisa means that he has taken this determination inside. He has not reached the goal, but he has taken this determination, he has made this determination inside. And he, Krishna is saying in that verse, even if he is Sudhurachari, Abhijayat Sudhurachari, that means he has not come out of all his anarthas. He still have bad habits in him. He has not come out of that. But if he has taken the determination, decision inside, samyak vyavasido hisa, he has he should be accepted as a sadhu. Krishna said he should be accepted as a sadhu, right? So this determination, resolute, firm determination to take practice sadhana is important, right? And then he says that sadhana processes like chanting the holy name and abhyasam means, so sadhana is all these things, javam, dhyanam, swadhyayam, everything, right? Abhyasam means it has to start from action right into the body, up to the body, right? and then the cycle is complete there. That means japam, puja, karmam, all these things, our bhavam has to change. Bhavam has to change, right? And gradually, first it enters into the mandalam of chitavrti. It has to enter into chitavrti, right? Then it will have its effect in the mind first, in the mental state. Manomandalam, right? Bhavamandalam, right? Then it has entered into the chitavrti, and from that it enters into the samskaram of a person, in him, right? And from samskaram it comes into vasana and then becomes a swabhava. This is how spiritual life happens inside. There is no other way. First of all, this abhyasa yoga yuktena, yoga yukena tato mamichatana. Abhyasa yogam, Krishna says, you begin. Abhyasam. From abhyasam, what happens is, that is this japam and all the sadhana, different type of things. And then abhyasam means, the action has started, and then it has to enter into the body first, and then the circle begins. Then it enters into the mind, and then it enters into the chitavrittis. When it enters into the mind, then it influences the chitavritti inside. And when chitavritti is inside, affected, then its effect will be there in your samskaram inside us, in a person. And that samskaram will develop into vasana, and vasana will become your swabhava. At that time you are very safe. Once it has become swabhava, then you don't have to struggle very hard. The struggle is all in the early stages. Because our swabhavam now is in another way. To enjoy life, make the body comfortable, and looking for gratification. This is how it becomes swabhavam now. From that swabhavam, it has to come to this swabhavam. So that's what Krishna is saying here. And then, swabhavam, once it has come, it enters into our avidya mandalam, which is inside us, right? And from swabhavam, what happens now? That avidya mandalam, where all our desires are there, right? It will enter there and it affects avidya, kamam, karmam, all that is changed. Because swabhavam has changed, right? And so the whole circle comes through like this, inside us. This whole circle happens. The problem is when you read all these things, in our life, whatever little time we have left now, what is possible? We will ask that question, if not. Krishna knows that most of the people, after getting a lot of knock in life from all sides, only then he'll open his eyes. Till then, oh, I am the controller of the world, we'll go on like this. But by the time we realize that we have to come to spiritual life and take Krishna's shelter, it's too late. Life is lost, most of the time is lost. Therefore, Krishna is saying, this is a system, how it works. It may not happen in this life, everything. Whatever you have done, in that mandalam you will leave the body. Suppose you have started the Abhyasa Yogam. To some extent it has gone into manasa, manomandalam, bhavamandalam. It has started influencing chittavritti. Even that is a success, Krishna says. That is that svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayad means. That it has started influencing you inside. Right? But just to think that all the time I am doing my 16 rounds, 4 regs I have done, everything is done. That's ignorance it is, to think like that. It's ignorant. Not good understanding. How change happens in us, right? Gradually, how that change happens, that we have to know how it works, right? Only then you can do it. Otherwise, how can you do it? Otherwise, I'll do it and think that it is going to come one day. You know, it doesn't come one day. It has to happen inside this. It has to enter into the mind. Chittavrittis have to change. And with the chittavrittis, it gradually enter from the chittavritti is one level of existence, right? And from that, it has to change into samskaram in a person. And from samskaram, it has to become vasana. From vasana, it has to become swabhava. It has to become swabhavam, right? And that swabhavam is what affects avidya. Svabhavam can fight avidya. Nothing else can fight avidya. Svabhavam can go inside avidya and change the avidya altogether, right? And then from svabhavam, what happens? The avidya is creating desires inside. I want this, I want that, I want so many other things. Recognition in the world, name and fame and money, this and everything, right? And when it comes to that, avidya changes, kamam goes away, karmam changes, right? So the first step is this action. To begin with action, chanting is the action, right? And gradually when you started correcting there, slowly that changes happened inside. Samskaram, svabhavam, everything changed. And it has touched that field of knowledge, or mandalam, right? And it made the change happen inside. So remember, all these things people have gone through. That is how they have become mahatmas. They didn't happen in one lifetime for a few years practicing spiritual life. It didn't happen. Either people who have done in previous lifetimes, several lifetimes they may have practiced it. That has come along with them in this life and they have started from where they are at. We have to start from where we are at. That's all we can do about it, right? So, abhivyakti means to manifest. In order to manifest, it will take a lot of time, right? And so therefore, karma yoga. All karma yoga comes at that time. It has to begin with karma, right? And you should not look at it, am I getting the result straight away? Because I'm doing some karma yoga. Am I getting the result straight away, right? You should not look at it. And similarly, you should not look at others also. Because everybody is at different level, positions they have started, right? And you should not even think whether it is working properly or not. All these things have no meaning, right? So, just like children, you know, small children, 2-3 years old, they will try to run here and there and they will fall. When they fall, if there is nobody there, they will get up and they will do this and they will continue. But if somebody looks at them, they feel they'll cry. Otherwise they won't cry. You must have seen this. The children are like that, is it not? That level of consciousness is like that, right? So, if the mother is next to the child will cry because mother is there. I've fallen in that way. But if mother is not there, he'll get up on his own and he will do things on his own, right? So, in the same way, Krishna is saying here that you have to take that in the abhyasam. Fall down will happen in many ways. Then do this and continue further. That's all. And Krishna says, take that sangalpam, Arjuna, he says. That sangalpam, right? So this sadhana, Krishna calls it as Icha. Mam Ichaptum Dhananjaya. Icha means that. This sadhana like this. Abhyasa yogena tato ma ichaptum dhananjaya. It is called Icha, right? So, so there are two things here. This is all introduction to the bhakti, what he is going to talk about later. All this understanding is good to know what Krishna is going to say from the 12th verse, 13th verse, Advaishta Sarvabhudanam. This is all the introduction for that, all what we are discussing now, right? So, Adhyatma Sadhana also requires certain medicines, in the sense that two things. One, your karma. And secondly, your food. These two things one has to be very careful about. Right? One, the karma, and the other one is the food. Right? Ahara shuddho sattva shuddhi, well-known thing. Right? Shuddha shuddho dhruvasmadi sarvam grindhinam vipramokshaha. Upanishad says that. So, aharam, food, is very important in this. If aharam is pure, because aharam turns into mind. It becomes the mind, right? So, basic raw material is annam, food. Annam. Annam is the food, right? Nobody can deny that. The food is that what we going inside, is it not? and to whatever maximum extent possible to make it sattvic food, right? And to whatever extent through your upasana process that you can purify that food, that will have its effect on your mind. It will have its effect on your mind, right? So, this is a great invention by the rishis, that mind is influenced by annam, by food, right? The great rishis of Bharata Bhumi has invented this principle. The food influences your mind, which is not in other people. They are eating anything, everything. It's not. Because they don't understand this connection with the mind and the mind and the food. Mind and the food, right? So, because of this reason only, when they convert Hindus to Christianity or to Islam, they forbid them for taking food from the temples anymore. Because they insist on them. Converted people, the first instructions they give them when they are converted is this. They think that they will change their mind. That's what they tell them. They join the new faith, and in order to keep them in the new faith, they tell them that you shouldn't eat the food anymore from others, from them. If you eat their food, what can happen? And that is why we mentioned there that when that priest asked this man who was converted, he changed his name, everything. But then when he came, for a few days he was busy somewhere else, he came back. And then he asked him, "Have you forgotten Jesus?" He said, "Shiva, Shiva, how can I forget Jesus?" He said, it came out in a natural way from him. "Shiva, Shiva, how can I forget Jesus?" he said, right? So, because the food has affected him so much, right? So it's annam, food is such a powerful thing. And Ramanujacharya says about food very strongly. Shankaracharya says it's not only food, everything that goes through senses inside is the food. Through all the five senses, what goes inside. If they are pure, your satunam will boost inside, boost up inside. There will be a big boost for the satunam inside. But particularly the food and then the karma, what we do, right? So that is why Vedam says, person who is doing sadhana, his first upasana is for this annam. How to write it, get it right. Annam pranan chakshusa shrotram mano vacha idihi. All the other senses as well, right? Upasana in that way, prana upasana. Similarly, upasana of the eye, upasana of the ear, upasana of the nose, and upasana of the word in this way. This is the shraudam, shruti, Veda margam, right? We are saying you upasana of Krishna, upasana of Shiva, like that. But Vedam says, upasana of annam, upasana of pranam, upasana of chakshusa, shrotram, manasa, vaka, all these things, right? So, when they ask about Brahmam in the Upanishads, the first upadesham is like this. Upasana of annam, pranam, manasa, chakshusa, shrotram, these things, right? But normally we'll say, oh, you should serve Krishna, you should worship Krishna, you should worship Shiva, you should worship Sivarvati, like that, right? But in Vedam it is like this. They are not spoken about any form as such, right? That means, which Adhyalpa Sadhana is right? The things what going inside us, right? If you are very alert about it, Jagrata, constant alert about that, right? If you remain like that, in a many months' time, the body will change. Body's nature itself will change. So, the problems, what's happening within the body, disturbance, will not go away with sadhana alone or with the knowledge alone, but sometimes with the annam it will change, right? Sometimes knowing about things may not change inside us, right? Because in our cells certain things are lodged inside. Some habits have become physical things inside us, some habits of ours, right? And you can't do anything about it. Only way of doing that is change in the diet, annam. Annam, right? So that is why Upanishad is saying annam is the one that becomes the mind. And it is that mind that's becoming the body. So if you have to correct it, medicine may not cure it. Sometimes the food habits, annam, has to change, right? And if that becomes a medicine, it will gradually purify the mind and it will make it favorable for the health also, for the health, right? So Paramahamsa used to say like this, you should eat only the food what your mother has given you, what the mother gives it to you, right? To some disciples he told them like that. To some others he told them, you prepare your own food in this way, right? And never buy from anybody food anywhere else and eat it, particularly hotels, restaurants and things like that. And he will always tell them, best thing is to prepare your own food, cook your own food and eat it, right? Otherwise, what has been cooked by mother, that is, because mother's cooking will always have that purity in them. So, in other words, what he is referring to is someone who has feeling for you, affection for you, when they cook the food, that is, whereas someone who has a lot of hate towards you, who curses you, and he cooks your food, it will churn your stomach. It will come out in another form, right? So, what is done with bhakti, what is done with shraddha, that cooking, that food is okay to eat, right? So, adhyalpa sadhana, its main foundation is this food, right? And externally, you won't know the influence of that food, right? Because its influence is very subtle in sushma, right? Therefore, Shruti says like this, that annam, what goes in, its most subtle side of it changes in the form of mind. The food what you have eaten, its most subtle form is the come in the form of mind, right? Not the gross form. The subtle form of the mind from the food turns into mind, right? And it is that thing that influences the mind, and that bhavam, bhakti, which is a subtle form of that mind, that will have its effect on you, of the person who's cooking the food. Right. So, you may have heard this story, I think I mentioned before also. Then in Maharashtra, there was this one of the devotees there, was well known. He had a big vegetable garden. He was growing all kinds of vegetables there. Drumsticks, karela, and okra, and all sorts of vegetables he grew there, right? And in them days, people grew vegetables and they had a special liking for the growing vegetables. They had a special attachment to it, growing vegetables like that, right? So he had his own garden. Now it has changed, isn't it? It's all organic farming and a huge, massive level, factory level, it's done. And it's all sprayed with all kinds of things so that it doesn't go off and last longer times, so that it takes the shipment time to reach the countries where it's exported to. So it's a different mindset behind it. Whereas those who have grown vegetables like that, if you only observe them, you will see this. Their heart is in there. Whole heart is in there, right? So while growing vegetables, he was chanting Hari Hari. He had so much attachment to Krishna also at the same time. So, one day, Namadev and Yanishwar, they were going to Pandharpur to see Vithala there, right? And then they passed through this garden, they saw Vithal was passing through inside the vegetable garden. He was walking there, right? And they were thinking, where is he going now? They were going to see him in the temple in Pandharpur to see the Vithal there. But they saw him walking inside the garden, right? So, and then they decided to go into the temple. When they went there, they couldn't find him there. Mahatmas have the capacity to see Krishna in the temple, not the deity like the way we see. It's not, because they have that realization inside, right? So, when they came back, in Namadev and Ganeshwar together, they came back to this garden, and they were saying that they were looking at the devotee who was growing the vegetables there, and he was addressing the okra, karela, everything as Panduranga. That's how we're seeing that. Yeah? And Krishna is looking for this devotee who is seeing him in all these vegetables, what was growing there. So, and that is that karmant sanyasam, sarva karmanyasam, right? How to change your karma in a Krishna conscious way, bhakti, to develop there, right? And Krishna calls it as yoga karma su kaushalam, he mentions in another place, right? So, this is another aspect of Bhagavata Dharma, that one is able to change one's karma in that way. So, these two things, one, the annam, what goes inside, and secondly, the karma, what one does. If these two things, if one is able to change the way Krishna has spoken, then he is saying here that it has become the abhyasam. That is abhyasa. Abhyasa yogena tadam mam ichaptam dhananjaya. Then he says there that if this abhyasam also is not possible, it is like that, our life is like that, is it not? You have to be compassionate to people also, because their situation is like this, some or the other. We are all trapped in this body and not able to come out of the bodily identification. So just some theoretical knowledge is not going to work. You need to have that practical way how to come out of this bodily identity. So Krishna is saying there that if that is not possible, then the next verse, 10th verse. Abhyasepi asamarthosi. If you are not capable for abhyasam, mat karma paramo bhava, mat artham avi karmani, kurvan siddhima vapsisi. That's the answer. If abhyasam, earlier you can see he began with yedu sarvani karmani in the 6th verse. First of all he said, all karmam for me. Mai sanyasya. Keep me and malpara. Surrender unto me. And do all the karma what comes through you, wherever you are, whatever karma you are doing, you do that. And my sanyasya malpara, and surrender unto me, malpara. Ananyaneva yogena mam dhyayantuvase. That was the first option Krishna gave, right? And Krishna said, if you do that, tesham aham samudartha, that means you have to practice that. That practice itself is a long process. It won't happen overnight. Which one? The 6th verse, right? Yadu sarvani karmani, mai sanyasya, malpara, ananyaneva yogena mam dhyayantu upasade. That was the first option. And Krishna said, if you follow that, at some point in time, tesham aham samudhartha, mrityu samsara saganat, bhavamina jirat partha, mai aveshada chedasam. Provided this madpara has come to that stage, that andaryami is taking shelter completely. Malpara, total surrender like that. And then if that is not possible, he said, mai eva mana atatsva, absorb your mind in me, mai buddhim niveshya, and the buddhi, and mai eva nivasishyasi, live in me. He said like that. Yeah, that is the 8th verse. And then Krishna said, if that is not possible, practice it, he said, abhyasam. That's how he started abhyasam, right? So he said, atha chittam samadhadam, if you can't do that, what was spoken in the 8th verse,
then atachitram samadhatum nashaknoshi mai sthiram abhyasayogena tadu, start abhyasam of doing that. Now in the next words Krishna is saying, if abhyasam is also not possible, abhyasevi asamarthosi, you cannot do it, you are not samartham, you are not capable of abhyasam, practice also, mat karma paramo bhava mad artham abhikarmani kurvan siddhim avapsesi. Remember this, that karma is most important. Karma is most important. And you can do all the karma for me and become perfect. Yoga siddhi, right? Abhyasebi asamartasi ashaktaha asi artarhi mal karma paramo bhava madartham karma mal karma tat paramo mad karma pradhan ityartaha. Abhyasena vina madartham abhikarmani kevalan kurvam siddhim sattva shuddhi yoga jnana pratidvarena avapsesi. If abhyasam also is not possible, then do all the karma for me, everything for me. If you do like that, gradually you will purify yourself and you will realize the self. Right? So that is that 10th verse. So the point is this, that Krishna says, Yasamamedi Pandava Malkarma Krita Malparamo Malbhakta Sangavarjidaha Nurvaira Sarobhudeshu Yasamamedi Pandava. So this Yasamamedi Pandava, coming back to Krishna, is the goal. Getting back to Krishna. Is it not? Means self-realization in the Jnani's language. Devotee's language, going back home, back to Godhead. You can put it like the same thing, spoken in two different ways, right? So, Malkarma Krita Malparama Malbhakta Sangavarjida Nurvaira Sarvabhudeshu Yasamamedi Pandava. Krishna said that in the end of 11th chapter. So when Krishna said that, Malkarma Krita Malparama Malbhakta Sangavarjida, become my devotee, he said there. That is when Arjuna wanted to know what is devotee means. That's when Arjuna asked the question. Is it not? In the next chapter. See the connection between 11 and 12. In 11, Krishna said, Mal karma, do all the karma for me. Mal para, completely surrender unto me. Mal bhakta, become my devotee. Sangavarjida, get detached from everything else in this world. Nurvaira, no animosity towards anyone. Sarvabhudeshu, yasamamedi pandava. He'll come back to me, Krishna said, in the end of 11th chapter, last words, right? Immediately Arjuna asked a question, evam sadada yuktaye bhakta samay, who is this bhakta you are talking about? Which one is the bhakta? Echapi aksharam avyaktam tesham kem yogavitama. The one who is experiencing the akshara brahma paramam inside is, or one who is satada yuktaye paryubhasade, who is the one? That's how bhakti yogam comes in. Bhakta stom paryubhasade, who is bhakta? In answer to that, Krishna started answering in this way. He began like that. First of all, he didn't answer that question directly as it is, because Arjuna's question was, out of those two, who is better? Krishna is saying, that is not the important thing. Shraddhaya pareyo vedasthemi yukta tamomada. Shraddha is more important. You see how the spiritual understanding comes from that. Yeah, Krishna is saying to Arjuna that, maya, whose mind is attached to me, whose shraddha is in me, he is in the right place, he said. Yukta tamomada. And then he mentioned about the other part. Yetvaksharam anirdesham avyaktam paryubhasade sarvatra gamachindinja kutastham achala dhruvam sanyam yendire gramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te praptnuvandimamayava sarvabhudahideyrataha. He spoke about those who are attached to Andaryami and who are in a different category they are. Krishna said, they are in a different category. And and he also said, those who have, he referred to another, a group of people who have acquired knowledge of the self. They have the knowledge, and knowledge in the sense that theoretically they have understood. They have studied books. They have understood there is a goal. There is a way of escape from this state. But the problem is that they are attached to their body very strongly. Klesha, adhigadara klesha, avyasasakta chedasam. And therefore, avyaktahi gadur dukham, dehavadhiravapyade. Krishna says that those who have very strong bodily identification, it's very difficult for them. So, the point is that studying Bhagavad Gita simultaneously, vairagyam also has to come.
inside. Vairagya means this connection with the body. To the extent possible. Everyone is in a different state, is it not? Everyone's attachment to the body is also different. Some people, if you observe carefully, you will see they have very little attachment to the body. In the sense that they don't particularly worry about the body so much. Whereas some others, if you observe, they'll be very careful about everything what happening to the body. So at different levels everyone is in one's own ways. So Krishna's pointing out this, that one who has attachment to the body, for him it's very difficult. He may have theoretical knowledge. He has studied from Shastram. He has understood everything. But Vairagyam is not there. Body identification is strong. Vairagyam means bodily identity will be less compared to others, is it not? Because if there is no Vairagyam, there will be strong bodily identification. That's the symptom of that. Yeah. So after saying that, then Krishna says the option. Yedu sarvani karmani, mai sanyasya malpara. He gave the option like that. Ananyaneva yogena mam dhyayandam upasate. And if you follow that one, Krishna said, tesham aham samudhartha, at a certain stage, then my sannyasya malpara, he has given up all the karma, knowing well Krishna is doing the karma through this body and the mind. Malpara, he has surrendered to me. And then Krishna says that, gradually, bhavamina jaral partha, my aveshada chedasam. Due to his training like that, he has become totally absorbed in me, and I'll take care of him, he said that. That is that seventh verse. Teshamaham samudata. If that is not possible, Krishna said, mai eva mane adhatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mai eva adha urdhunna samshaya. The eighth verse, he said. That is the next option. Then, if that is not possible, Krishna said, atha chittam samadhadum. So, if you read these verses again and again and again, you can see how Krishna has put different positions in front of us. And what you can do in your situation. That's what he is saying to us. Everyone has to start from where they are at, is it not? We are all different. Our swabhavam is different. Our vairagyam is different. Our prarabdham is different. So you have to keep people like that only. You can't say one rule to everyone, means it's very much on the surface. This is much more in detail in a person's evaluation of everyone, evaluating individually, right? So Krishna is saying, if you can't do that, atha chittam samasadam na shaknoshi mai sthiram, abhyasa yogam, start abhyasa yogam, and he mentioned what abhyasa means, right? And if that is also not possible, Krishna is saying, mat karma paramo bhava, mad artham vikarmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi, right? So, if abhyasam is also not agreeable, is not possible, you are not able to do it. That means the body has to cooperate, mind has to cooperate, is it not? They have to agree with it. Otherwise, how will you abhyasam? How can you do abhyasam? Practice is not possible. If the body and mind is not cooperating, abhyasam is not possible, right? In that case, the option is, mat karma paramo bhava, all the karmam do it for me, he said. And madartham avikarmani kurvan siddhim avapsisi, he said. So, we will stop there now, and we will see how all these different options, what Krishna has spoken, how it is coming into Bhakti Yoga. That is the next many verses. After the 11th, 12th verses, it begins like that. So we'll discuss that next Wednesday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada.